everybody. It's Wayne D, CEO. Come get a record. You're now tuned in to Bryant, the Hammer Jackson Show. We got an exclusive track from Neff. Come get a record. Remember, you never know unless you come get it. Yeah, yo.
Perfecting my art, life's full of devotion, false hopes and foolish notions. God forbid if I ever fell off this vessel. My heart on this beat should keep me afloat. Though I'm not the shepherd, I could be a shoulder. Lead you to safety, fall in the valley. I know I'm the baddest, breathe fire like a dragon. It's hard to imagine being hit so hard by reality. Only the best keep up with me, we run the industry. From being heard in the streets, cold world, but I ain't got time to stay frozen. Limelight is a life that I've chosen. Camera flashes, news flash, next to smash it. Born to ride, it's do or die, living like John Lennon. So when I kick the bucket, you can bury me a legend. Angel feet and golden wings, front row seats, top of the world. Ain't nobody sitting higher than me. Conquered it all, far as the eye can see, only I can see. Pisces 3, Poseidon controls the seas. Julius sees, umpires the breeze, empires within arm's reach. Cause even the clouds part when the God speaks.
And you could have made it to be the best. You know what I mean? Things are gonna try to pull you down. And whether you're not, you're gonna climb your way to the top of that mountain. You're gonna deal with the struggle. And then you're gonna flow. You know what I mean? It's just.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Good afternoon. Good evening. If you're in Europe, hola. If you're in Spain, hello. This is Brian the Hammer Jackson Joe. So, yeah, you can tell I didn't get much rest. So, if you can understand me, please let me know. Type to me and let me know if you understand me. Today we have our special guest, Carrie L. Brooks. She's a writer, director. She has a web series and she has a new project coming on. And my co-host today was supposed to be Chris, and I think he's going to be coming on any minute now. And then we also have Jagger, Jamie DeBernard. And I'm going to read Kelly's notes because see if she did it. Brian's guest will be filmmaker Carrie Brooks, and she's going to discuss her latest project, The Box Office Fear. It's a web series discussing current entertainment with unedited opinions from our panel. Seabrook Media, LLC, is a full-fledged production company, and at current time, Seabrook Media is producing The Box Office Fear. Carrie, and that's Carrie. She's behind that. She's going to be our guest. She's going to talk about that. And on a scripted show with Arlene Barsinger, Arlene's guest will be writer, actor, and certified personal trainer, Brian Jagger. She'll come on and talk. And Brian will talk about The Lobbyist. That's his new web series currently in pre-production, set to film in Sacramento. Brian is the lead actor, of course, and he's associate producer. So it's going to be a fun time today. But, you know, Brian the Hammer Show, we're going to do controversy. Yes, we are. We're going to upset some people. We're going to piss some people off. We're going to make people get really, really upset. I can't help it. It's the way I'm built. Ask people who like me. I'll piss them off within 5 minutes, and those are the people who like me. So, I have a call here, and I'm going to take it, but I have something special for you. And if there's anybody who's Muslim out there that's listening to me, I need you to call in today. I really need you to call in today, because I'm going to run a tape that's going to be controversial, and Kelly's typing to me now. Jamie DeBernard, the most interesting one of the... Oh, I wasn't supposed to be reading that out loud. Okay, now she's typing the F word to me. All right, caller 480. I'm coming to you live. I'm coming to you live. This is Brian the Hammer Jackson. And let's see what you have to say. Let's say you call, caller 347. I'm coming to you live. Brian the Hammer Jackson, you're on live. Who's calling? 347?
Hey, Brian.
Hey.
It's Cole. How you doing?
Cole, how you doing, buddy? Hang on 1 second, okay, buddy?
No problem.
All right, caller 480. Coming to you live, Brian Hammer Jackson with Cole on the line. 480?
It's me, Carrie.
Hi, Carrie. Hold on, Carrie. Ladies and gentlemen, that's Carrie. That's our special guest for today. Carrie, I'm going to ask you to do something for me. Would you please hold? I don't want, you know what I mean? Don't go away.
Yes.
I want to introduce
no problem.
I want to introduce you properly, but something's been on my mind. You know when something's on my mind, Carrie, what's going to happen? You know crap is going to happen. know that, Carrie.
Yep, I do.
I can't help it. Cole, how you doing? Call me Carrie.
Hey, Carrie, how you doing?
I'm fine. How are you?
Okay, guys.
I'm doing great.
Are you ready to have stuff happen?
Bring it on.
All right, here we go.
Oh, yeah.
And, well, you sound like Wayne almost there. Here we go, guys. Here we go.
We interrupt the Brian Hammer Jackson show for a very important news update.
Ambassador to Libya, Christopher Stevens, was reported by a news agency Reuters as the U.S. national who has been killed on the attack on the U.S. consulate in Libya. Now, as far as America is concerned, they've confirmed that it is U.S. Ambassador Christopher Stevens who has been killed in that attack in Benghazi. It wasn't clear if the ambassador was in his car or the Libyan consulate when the attack took place. It was a rocket strike in which the U.S. ambassador was killed. The Libyan ambassador and three staff members have been killed when gunmen fired rockets at them. That's the official word coming in from the U.S. Consulate in Benghazi. This has been confirmed to news agency Reuters. We're back on this story. Let's go across to strategic affairs expert Maruf Raza joining us on the phone line. Maruf, looking at another big crisis for the U.S. here, isn't it? Another strike.
Well, the issues that immediately emerge is that firstly, more than the U.S., there is a bigger physical presence in Libya of British and French troops. The U.S., if you may remember, that they had provided only support from outside for those attacks, which eventually led to the U.S., the Western coalition, taking control of Libya from Muammar Gaddafi. But the fact also that emerges is that the U.S. and its envoys remain a key target for any group wanting to make its impact in the international arena. Now, who has done it at this stage, I'm probably not too sure.
And as you can tell, what's going on in Libya and the unofficial report, and again, I need somebody. I think I have Arlene on the line. 707 coming to you live. Brian Hammer Jackson Show with our guest Carrie plus Cole's on the line. 707, is this Arlene?
Yes, it is.
How you doing, Arlene? What do you think about our intro here, that interruption? What do you think?
You know, I was just listening to that, and I saw the news on that. You know, and I think it's really sad, you know, that that people feel like they have to resort to violence to get any sort of attention and cause unnecessary death and disruption.
Not necessarily. Now, again, anybody who has any listening to the show right now who is a part of the news organization, maybe part of the Muslim religion, please call in because I need you to correct me. Here's what I'm getting. This all started from a guy, he's a self-proclaimed Israeli Jew who lives in Orange County, California.
Right.
He made a documentary called The Innocence of Muslims.
Uh-huh.
Now, in that documentary, he slandered Muhammad.
Okay.
Which sparked this outrage in Libya.
Like I said, I still don't agree with the violence because, once again, that is his opinion. That is his opinion, and you express your opinion on the show a lot. I express my opinion on the show a lot, but does that give anybody a right to kill us because we don't agree with their religious beliefs?
Now, if he said the same thing about Jesus, if somebody slandered Jesus, would we still have the same?
It doesn't give them the right to kill him.
Do they have the right to burn the Bible?
If they burn the Bible, if they burn the Bible, I would say it would be basically their loss and their stupidity. But I wouldn't kill them over it. No.
Okay, let's do a round table. Let's do a round table kind of thing with Carrie and Cole. Cole, what is more offensive, burning the Bible or burning the flag in a foreign country?
Definitely the flag. But, you know, just to chime in on Arlene's, you know, their comment, you've got to realize that, you know, a lot people of less of a lesser intelligence is not going to let something roll off. When you say, of course, I agree with you, of course people shouldn't commit acts of violence because their religion or race is degraded in a public forum. And I don't agree with that, but you got to realize, you know, there's a lot of knuckleheads out there, and religion and you know, people of lesser intelligence go hand in hand. I just want to make a comment about ambassadors. I really feel like this is such a loss because the ambassadors in these other countries are really not protected well enough. Furthermore, I don't think that they have any business being there unless they're protected. I mean, we're going to help them. And then he gets killed, and his other three other people got killed. So the lives of, you know, maybe 100 or more people of friends and family are affected by this ambassador getting killed.
Well,
and
all they did was make him a martyr.
Okay.
They made his wife a widow.
Well taken. Let's go to Carrie. Carrie, what's more offensive, burning the flag or burning the Bible?
I would say burning the flag. Burning the Bible is bad, but if you don't believe in that and you have another religious belief, then, you know, I wouldn't kill somebody over it either. I think that's absolutely absurd, but people are getting to the point where they're killing each other for such minute things now that it's just appalling.
Okay, we have a caller on 415 coming to you, 415. You heard our roundtable. You heard our entertainment reporter, Arlene Barsinger, which I love dearly. You heard Cole talk about his views about people with lesser intelligence getting riled up. You have also heard Carrie, who is our guest today. We're going to talk about her films, how she thinks it's, you guys got to relax a little bit and not start killing people over free speech. And so am I paraphrasing it enough, guys?
Exactly.
Okay, here we go. We're going to go to caller 415. You're going live with Brian the Hammer Jackson and our guests. 415, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hey, how's everybody going?
And
here's
our special guy,
doing, Cole?
Mr. Wayne D., CEO, Come Get It Records.
Thank
friend of the
you.
Show, co-host of the show, the pal. Good morning, Wayne. How are you?
Good. I'm doing great. You know, before I iterate on what's going on, I just want to make a quick note on something. I apologize yesterday. I wanted to listen to the show longer, but you know where I was? I just didn't have my damn charger, and my phone was dying because all the pictures I was taking of the damn shark. So excuse me on that. But I did hear it, and Arlene, you did a great job, like always. So,
thank you. I appreciate it, Wayne.
You know, right when I got back to the studio, you know, I took the time to listen to it all. But, you know, I really don't know what this. I'm just calling in today. I don't know what the subject is. I did hear you mention the Bible or the flag, and you know what's going on. And I can't wait to hear more about the video that the other young lady is doing today or talking about. But thank you, Brian and Hammer Jackson, and bless you, Cole, always. You know what? My personal belief is I'd be more upset about the. The Bible being burned. But you know what? I mean, I don't know. You can't take flags and make them idle. You know, I understand about the country. I love the country. And, you know, hey, I'm proud to be American. I love it. I love it. But, you know, I got different mixed emotions and feelings about that. And, you know, my father, he fought for Vietnam. I mean, I got scrapbooks, pictures of people with their heads split open, his friends, you know. And, that he took when he was out there in the field. And, you know, it kind of made me upset because, you know, when he passed away, you know, they basically sent me a letter saying because he didn't pass away before 2009 that they weren't able to pay for the burial. That was just crazy. That was crazy.
It is crazy.
You know, so I got different beliefs on it, you know. So, I mean, I love America. Don't get me wrong. You know, this whole thing, what's going on with the economy and stuff, it's really drowning people. And I believe that, you know, it's bigger than what it seems to be. I believe we're in more deeper debt than people can really, really imagine. It's more of a, you know, maybe more of a facade you know, up there to show that everything is going good, you know, but if you really look at the numbers, numbers don't lie, and if you get into the numbers, you know, about the economy, you know, we're not doing good at all, period.
We're not. But, you know, let me tell you something, and it's always a trend. It's always a trend, I think. Here we go again. If you notice that when we ever prosper in our economy, it's only because of there's a war. Whenever there's a war, our economy is fantastic. And is there a trend here when we elect a president, either we're coming out of a war or we're starting a war?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
They already said that the Republican House already is pushing for a war in Iran. And if Romney wins, I bet it's going to happen in, you know, by January, February. And if Obama wins, I bet it happens in June. You know, but putting war aside for a second.
Definitely.
Putting war aside for a second, you know, they could revitalize this whole country and the city of Detroit, which is like a ghost land, by just opening these factories up and making electric cars. You know, I don't know how many people know this, but there was a Russian guy who made a car that ran on water and windmills, and he was killed in the early 1900s because even back then, Ford and the boys, they knew, like, well, wait a second, we sell this car for whatever it is, $500 or a few hundred bucks. How are we going to make our money on the back end? And what people don't realize around this world is that we're all going to be long gone, dead, buried, and turned to dust and ashes before we run out of oil and gas. So this whole thing about, that's what I think. I think overpopulation and pollution is going to, forget about, oh, we got to drill a pipeline in Alaska. I mean, that's the most moronic thing I've ever heard. But anyway, I had to get all that in.
Okay, what we're going to do is something very controversial here. Something really controversial, and then we're going to come right to Carrie. We're going to go right to it. I thought I had my co-host today, Ward, but I don't see him on at all. So Kelly is typing to me. Kelly, where's Ward? Isn't Ward supposed to be my co-host today? Anyway, I don't see it. We're going to proceed anyway. You guys ready for this?
I wanted to make a mention about Iran real fast. You know, the time I go into war with Iran, and I think that's going to be a huge mistake, and let me tell you why.
Okay.
Right now, I have friends, several friends that are from Iran, okay? Iran, the people of Iran love Americans. They love America. They love Americans. It's the government and the few, very, very few select people there that bash Americans and our country. And it's a very, very small part. It's a very minor part. A small part, well, the government's not so minor, but when you take the population of the people, which are, you know, way up there in you know, the amount of population that are there, they love Americans. And so if we go to war with them and we destroy and tear apart their country and make it a war torn country like we did with Iraq, we're going to take the love of Americans out of there, and the people themselves will no longer love America. They will hate Americans.
Okay, on that note, we have a call calling in. We're really behind here. I wanted to play something that's really controversial, but we do have two guests here. We have Carrie. Wait a minute. Is Jagger your guest, Arlene?
I have Jamie, and I have Brian Jagger.
So my only guest today is Carrie. Okay, which is a great guest, too, because Kelly just said Carrie is one of our best guests. I agree, Carrie. I agree. Kelly, she is one of our best guests. Sorry, Carrie. Thank you for being patient. Kelly's yelling, Carrie. But I'm going to go to one more call here. Before I go to the call, you guys ready? Okay, here's what the whole controversy is about. I'm not going to play the whole 12-minute. Here's a minute of it. This is what the controversy is about. Well, I'm going to skip that. I didn't have a chance to download it. But here we go. This is the Muslim, innocence of Muslims, and this is what the whole controversy is about. Right now, I'm looking at it on YouTube. Right now, it's a Muslim lady. She's dressed in Muslim attire with her leg up over a gentleman, a Muslim gentleman, almost depicting a doggy style position, like going to ride him as a pony. And that's the visual. Here's the sound.
Put your head between my thighs. you see this devil still?
Yes.
Now do you see him?
He's gone. Khadija, he's gone. How have you done this? And this shall be the first Muslim animal. What's your name?
Now he was talking to a donkey, and he says, this will be the first Muslim animal, and he's talking to the donkey. Here's the soundbite.
Yahoo, do you like the women? No. Yahoo does not like the women.
Please, my cousin, you must help us.
I'll help you, Khadija. I will make a book for him. It will be a mix between some versions from the Torah and some versions from the New Testament, and mix them into false verses.
And the inspiration has disappeared. Watergut is dead, and the inspiration has disappeared. Don't understand. What is the relationship between Warwick's death and the inspiration?
No, I'm not just attracted to the mountain.
Okay, first of all, it's really badly. Basically, it's to me, it's like a parody of Muslims. I can see where they could get offended by it. I just showed you, or just gave you a soundbite of a minute of it. It's called The Innocence of Muslims. You can see it on YouTube, and there's different parts of it. Basically, they're making a mockery out of Muhammad, and that what sparked the anger in Libya, which caused, the uprising that caused the death of the ambassador.
Oh, my God. You know, we make a mockery out of Jesus all the time, but you don't see us turning around bombing people for it.
You know what? You know what? If I may have a minute, I'd like to speak on something. Just give me 1 minute, and let me just clear some stuff up. That this is just my personal belief. When you got stuff going on like that, like what I spoke about, life imitates art. And when you got stuff going on like that, you got people making mockeries out of religion and stuff like that. I look at it like this. I'm gonna break it down for where people who are not able to understand politics, but understand other things to be able to understand what I'm about to say. It's like you live in a city, okay, and you're the shit on the block. You're the man on the block, but that block ain't good enough for you. So you go branch out to other blocks, and you want to grab them all. And what ends up happening is you're going to reach a block where someone's going to end up fighting back, no matter how big you think you are. And guess what? America is the bully on the block. They can't have enough. They got to get more. They got to get more. And you know what? People aren't going to put up with that. You can only do that for so long before someone says, hey, you know what? This is bullcrap. I'm not going to put up with it. We don't care who you are, how big you are. We'll still fight back regardless. Whether we win or lose, that's not the point. But the whole point is that this has been going on and on and on, and it's going to keep going on. You know, it's branch. You want to just take over everything. And then who's not to sit there and say that, you know what, this right here was made specifically for that because they want to blow it up so much on YouTube. I'm sure it's got over a million hits. And so they
actually, that's a good question. And you know what, I just took it out. You know what, with CNN reporting on it, you're correct, Wayne. You're correct. He's all over the news, headline news.
What they do is they make a big deal about it over there because you know why? They're not used to the internet scene or whatever the whole case scenario is, to the whole media stuff that America's blowing up the media to be through the internet and all this other bullshit and all this other crap. And then guess what? You got other people over there, life imitates art. They see that stuff that angers them. Now what if let's say someone over there did some stuff about, you know, a religion over here in America, or well, let's say it's towards, let's say Iran or whatever made a video, okay, depicting Obama getting his head cut off, but it was a fake person and a fake head. You know how many people would be angered over here?
Come on.
I don't know. We tend
to
do that.
You're making fun of their religion?
We tend to do that here, as a cartoonist will do.
Exactly, but if it was made in Iran.
Yeah.
If it was made in Iran, and they made it look like they were a hood, where they were wearing hoods, and it looked like a real situation, and they
right.
were depicting a guy that looks like Obama, and they had some fake head fall off, and they're laughing about it afterwards, that would outrage America, period.
Yeah.
But as soon as something happens over here,
true.
It's okay to do. And this is
religion. Yeah, and that's true. That's true, too. I agree with you, because it's almost like a thing, you know, we were talking about racism yesterday. And
Who's not to sit there and say that it's planted just to spark that?
Yeah, and I agree with Wayne on that one, because it's almost like it's okay, like for an example, it's okay for me to talk badly about my own family. But if my own family, somebody else talks about my family, heaven help them. You know, same thing with racism. Like, you know, I joke around and I call myself a chink sometimes, you know, and I'm like, look at my chinky eyes or whatever. But if anybody else were to say that, man, there'd be a bunch of mad Chinese people or Asian people out there. You know,
and
it's okay.
You don't
want
to get the Chinese people mad, they own us. The next thing you know, we'll be working in special.
No more little toys. So,
exactly. We have no clothes. We have no country.
And you know what? You know what?
Pissed off the Chinese.
What you're speaking right there has to go with the bully on the block. Guess what? There's not enough here. They go over there and they sit
there
and outsource their stuff to China and stuff like that. They make these people pay for low wages because they ain't got to pay them no medical. They ain't got to pay them no garbage. They ain't got to pay them nothing. They ain't got to pay no bullshit, no overtime. They're paying pennies on the dollar. Getting stuff made, and then they're shipping over here, and then people wonder why we ain't got no jobs over here.
Right. You know,
we don't make
anything
that competes. Hey, Brian, just one quick thing.
I'm gonna come right back to your call. I promise I will.
Okay.
I promise I will.
Okay.
All right, hold on. 225. You lit up the phones there. Wayne got people upset. Hey, if you're upset at Wayne, send your letters to Kelly. No, I'm kidding.
And Cole,
yeah. Erico 225, I'm coming to you live with my special guest, Carrie, and we're going to get to her right away. You're online with Wayne D., CEO Cole, and also my entertainment reporter.
Arlene.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man.
Okay.
I got you back.
You're online.
Hello, can you hear me? Thank you, Wayne. Come on now. Get with it, Brian. It's not Monday anymore.
I know. 225, you're online. Your name and area code, please. I mean, no, your name and location.
This is Destiny.
Hi, Destiny.
Oh, yeah, you can hear me. Oh, I thought you were talking about somebody else because I never
I'm
mind.
I'm sorry,
anyway.
I can't hear you. No, I can hear you, Destiny.
You can't hear me?
Yes.
Okay, all right.
Where are you from, Destiny?
Okay. I'm from the NOLA area.
Okay, Destiny, are you listening to us on the radio, too? Because there might be a delay. You can hear me straight on the phone if you're on it. If you don't mind turning it down, I don't know.
Oh, yeah, I did turn it down. I had the internet on, but I just turned it down because I knew of the reverb.
All righty. Destiny, do you have a question for our guest or for the topic? Well, I guess you don't have a question for our guest.
I have a comment. I actually have a comment on the topic.
Sure.
I wanted to read something to you real quick because I just wanted to say this real quick. There is a huge difference between defending yourself and provoking violence. I am more for peace. Now, I'm not against protecting yourself or protecting oneself, but I have friends all over the world, including Muslims, and I'm Messianic Jew. I love all people, and I believe in promoting peace. And I wrote something this morning about the ambassador who died, because I'm more like an ambassador myself. When I try to communicate with people all over the world and I counsel with them and I pray for them, I am always trying to encourage and promote and foster peace, always.
Now, Destiny,
what's your
religious – did you mention that you were Jewish or
– Messianic Jewish, which means a follower of Yeshua, the Messiah, Jesus.
Oh, okay.
Jewish roots.
How is that related to, do you get along, you have to excuse my ignorance on this, I'm not making light of this, I am asking a question because I'm not familiar. What's the relation to your religion to the Muslim religion? I mean, are you at odds or talk to me?
Well, actually, I love and appreciate a lot of them. They really love God. There are only a few, like isn't her name Kelly, your guest?
Uh, Yeah, Kelly Brooks.
Carrie Brooks. Yes, Carrie. She actually made a very good point. There are Muslims over there who are not extremists. The ones who use religion as a front because they have a obsession for power, control, and manipulation and oppression of the people, those are the ones who blow things up. Not all Muslims are like that. I study religions religiously as well as other languages to understand all cultures and see the beauty in each culture and within each person individually. I don't judge people like that, but I do say right is right, wrong is wrong, but I still love and accept people and try to foster good peace for good growth and encourage peace and love. And she is so right on that. Not all Muslims are like that. So
and
I
may
love
I ask
all
you, what
people.
May I ask you, what do you do for a living?
I'm a writer.
Oh, fantastic.
And an actress.
Okay.
But
you're also, you're in your religion, is there a special form of dress in your religion?
I guess you could say, okay, when you have a relationship with the Lord, you dress respectfully how you feel in your heart to dress. And really the Lord doesn't look at how we dress so much as what is in our heart.
Now, is Jesus...
Not that that condones provocativeness, but...
I'm just going to ask you one more question.
I don't judge people for that because we go through different levels of maturity growth.
Okay, let me ask you a question. Is Jesus our Savior?
In my belief, very strongly, yes. He has saved me from rape, from domestic violence, and many, many other things. Yes.
Are you familiar with Muhammad? Is Muhammad our Savior?
No.
I see.
I believe he was a good messenger, but
a prophet?
I don't believe he was the Savior.
But if Muhammad is a prophet...
Maybe so, because the Muslim people, what a lot of people don't understand when they don't study the Bible, or history, that's the best way to put it, the Bible and history. Muhammad... The Muslims come from the tribe of the 12 tribes of Israel, but from Ishmael. Ishmael was born unto Abraham from the slave woman, not from his wife Sarah. So actually, they are part of the family, but they strayed. They became bitter and angry because they were sent away because Sarah became jealous of the Ishmael and the maid servant woman of hers
baby
that had Ishmael with Abraham.
Now I want to ask you one more thing. What about the blood? You know what I'm going with this. The blood, the thing that the Israels ate the blood of the Christian babies.
I've never heard of that. And
you never heard of
that? God looked down upon that. I will tell you that straight up. Because God said he hates the shedding of innocent blood, period.
Right, but what is it called,
though?
I know, but what is it called? I can't get the name of it. It's called blood. I wish I should have been more prepared for you. But that was the thing. It was either the Israels or the Israelis were eating the blood of the Christian babies or the Arab babies or the Muslim babies.
That is gross and disgusting, and they do not in my belief. But they did that, we'll be held accountable for that because that is very, very, very
wrong.
This
is not going on now. This is way back in the 1400s and, way back in the B.C. This is way back then. And somebody who has more information on that, please call in and correct me because I'll probably get it to you tomorrow and correct it. It's not going on now. I'm just trying to say it has that.
Well, send me a private message on Facebook and tell me the name of it if you think of it, and I'll look it up and I'll research it, and I'll get back with you.
Please
that,
do,
and
come back on the show tomorrow and let me know what's going on. I want to thank you so much for your call. You know that, don't you?
Really? Oh, well,
yes.
Thank you.
Look
so
at
I
you.
I have one thing to read real quick. Can I please?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, I'll try to read real fast. You know I can talk fast.
All right.
Okay. is what I wrote in reference to Ambassador Stevens. I said, my deepest heartfelt condolences go out to Ambassador Stevens and three other yet-to-be-identified American individuals who were killed while on a peace mission in the Middle East. How sad to lose such a beautiful soul who sacrificed so much for the sake of peace. He will always be remembered for his courage, acts of bravery, strong faith, and the healing restoration of humanity, and his hard work that made huge contributions to humanity with much sincere love. Things like this are so complexly hard to understand how anyone could kill such a kind soul who loved and cared about so many people. May you rest in peace in the arms of God, dear Brother Stevens, and those with you who died today, crying deeply with much love and prayers for the families affected by such a horrible tragedy, praying for the continued efforts of peace, love and prayers, Destiny.
Destiny, that was beautiful.
I pray for peace all the time.
Yeah, that was very beautiful, and God bless you, Destiny. Your name is.
Can I call back for Chris Yank? Because I have two questions.
Yeah, I think he's on right now. And if you can hold, or I'm going to bring him on right now. Well, you know what I'm going to do? Because sometimes I never listen to my, what do you call those, archives? But I do know that when we have more than, when we have a lot of people online, I hear backfeed. So what I'm going to ask, I'm going to try something, and I hope my guest doesn't get upset, and I hope my co-hosts don't get upset, is that I guess when we have somebody on, maybe we can mute ourselves, and we can still listen to the show, and then, because sometimes I get backfeed, and important. You guys think about it, and I'll come to you. You guys tell me. It'll be all of our decision. We're Democratic here. And, of course, Arlene's a Republican. She doesn't count. All right. Let's go to 818. I'm waiting for Arlene. She's biting her tongue. 818.
No, I did. I was also yelling at you, but I
know
needed.
You will. Let's go to 818-254, because I think this is Chris. Okay. 818, you're on live with Brian the Hammer Jackson and my co-host, who is not here, and with Wayne D. CEO.
Co-host in absentia, this is the Atomic Blonde. I am Chris Yonke. Good morning,
Mr.
everybody.
Mr. Chris Yonke, which I call him Yankee.
Boom. That's
ladies
right,
and
folks,
gentlemen,
we got to start the day off with a statement. Cultures of conflict are limited only to the borders of humankind, so what does that mean? I'll wait for an answer.
I was going to introduce you, but go ahead. What's your question one more time?
Oh, no, you go ahead and introduce. You know what? Go ahead and make the introduction.
If you ever watch Jimmy Kimmel, he always talk about Matt Damon, and it's a running joke, Matt Damon. Chris is my Mac Damon. I don't mean it lightly. I mean that the guy is really interesting. I love Chris to death, but every time we get to Chris came on one time, we had problems with his phone. Chris tried to come on another time, and it's like, we got cut off. Chris came on another time. Oh, we only got 5 minutes left. So finally, Chris made it.
Here in the flesh, unlimited, and brought to you in part by no one at all. It's the live Atomic Blonde, Chris Yonke.
Ladies and gentlemen, Chris Yonke. Okay, Chris, what was your question?
My question is, folks, cultures of conflict are limited only to the borders of humankind. What do you think could be done? And people talk about all this industry and all this economic benefit of war. Why isn't anybody thinking about an economy based on peace and creating? You know, if you stretch out with your arm, why can't you grab onto something with your hand? Come on, folks, reach out with your hearts, grasp with your soul.
It's easy. It's not about heart and emotion. It's about money.
Right. You know, we say that about money,
but you know what?
Here's the thing about money. Money's not worth a damn thing if there's no people to spend it. You and I both need to know what a dollar's worth. We know the price, right? But where's the value? So I agree with you in theory, but the idea of creating wars for the economy, the reason why I might want to bring this up is our President Eisenhower, who was also the Allied commander in World War II, made a statement. And from his statement, this phrase would be burned into our conscience forever, military-industrial conflict, or complex. There you go. So Eisenhower warned on his departing speech to President Kennedy about the idea of an emerging military-industrial conflict, that war was good for business, right? Business
war
was good
for
war. Fortunately, you know what? War is not good for business when there's no people to fight it, right, folks?
War is bad
for
business.
That's everybody.
But that's good, too.
Well, yes.
That's
everybody
the
asks that question.
China, you got so many people. They're paying you money not to have children. If you got a million Chinese dying in war, that helps their economy. I'm not saying that's what they're doing. Let's just be real here.
I can't believe you just said that. That's thinking with numerics, but here's the problem. You had a million people. You just lost a million opportunities to find a better way to live. Each time a person is born, there's an opportunity to find something. Folks, don't lose the optimism because you'll forget the value of life. Right now, all we're talking about is cost, right? We're talking about cost, all this stuff. Each one of us only knows the storms when a raindrop hits our forehead. Why on God's green earth would we say a million deaths could be good for the economy? What sort of thinking are we propagating that that's okay? Now, I'm not challenging you, Mr. Jackson. I'm just saying I'm sort of thinking on this because, you know, me and my little Chris Yonke world, I, too, have had a rough day. I'm coming off of a lot of fights, and I'm coming off of a lot of things, so it's a rough day for me. But I'm not challenging you and saying what you're saying is bad. I'm just saying, when did it become acceptable for us to actually almost, I mean, whether it's trivializing, it's almost accepting. It's almost like we agree when we say shit like that. We might not agree, but it's almost like we're saying, you know what? It's okay to go to war because it is good for economy because we've lost sight of the value of life.
Well, it's been proven.
Wait a second, though. Guys, war has been beneficial, you know, in World War II because we were making bullets and we were making planes. Everything now is spent on stuff that we don't need and to supply troops, you know, with food and ammo in foreign countries where we have no business being a quote-unquote liberating countries. We're not if we want to liberate a country, liberate Cuba. That's a country to liberate that's close enough to swim on Iraq
and
get eaten by sharks.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, on that note, we're going to do, we've got a little bit of time left, so now we're going to start the show.
All right, folks, and it's kick-off.
Hold on, everybody, because
we had one of my Seattle Seahawks in there yesterday.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, yeah, Mr. Johnson?
Yeah,
sir.
Norm Johnson.
Chris, leave it to you to talk about your Johnson. Hold on 1 second. Let's start the show.
The world's shortest show.
Whoa. Can't touch this.
Ladies and gentlemen, my special guest, she's been waiting so patiently. She's been here. She's going to promote her web series, and the web series is called Hammer Time. No, I'm only kidding. I'm going to welcome Carrie Brooks. Carrie Brooks, welcome to the show. I think you're working on your new web series called Box Office Sphere. It's a web series discussing current entertainment and unedited opinions with the panel. Welcome, Carrie. How are you today?
I am fine. How are you doing?
I am fine, thank you. You know the round table here. You got your passionate Chris who's pissed off today. You got your Wayne D. CEO who's really upset. You got Arlene who is sitting there waiting to discuss things and take my head off. And you got Cole who loves you very much. Okay, Arlene. Carrie, tell me about your series.
My series is... I have a
question. And that's enough for today. Thank you for coming back to... okay, go ahead, Carrie.
It's hosted by a Hollywood historian. His name is Charlie LeSueur. And I have a panel of various people, ages, ethnicity, and we just sit around and talk about current movies, you know, TV, whatever, but
so it's almost is it almost like The View kind of thing?
You know, it's not like any of them, because what we talk about is the unknown facts or things about, you know, like behind the scenes things, you know, like who was offered. Oh God, I can't think of anything. The unknown story behind them.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And you know,
behind who? Who are we behind?
Boy, I should have done research today. It's like we took the Batman movies and decided, you know.
Okay. Okay. So you.
Up
so,
for
okay, so you pick a certain hot top. Let's just coin a phrase because I can't think of anything else. Let's say hot topics. And you talk, and they could be movies, they could be musicals, they could be headlines, whatever. And your web series, you're talking about them, Kara?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Like, one thing that we're doing on the show that I'm editing right now that's going to go up soon is the difference between the original Sherlock Holmes and Robert Downey Jr. as Sherlock Holmes, and then the new TV series that's coming out with Lucy Liu called Elementary.
Really? I got a title for you, Carrie, if you're on that theme. Listen to this title. Tell me if you can use this. How's this? You start your show. Here's your title. No Shit, Sherlock.
I think I used that.
I'd like to feature that as an adult film title and make it about 2 minutes long.
Chris.
45 seconds.
Yeah, I'll watch that over and over again. Cool. We can do that. Loop it.
Now, Carrie, are you in production right now? And this is a web series, so are you in production? Are you shooting now? You got some in the can?
I have 3 episodes up and running. I am editing 4 and 5, and we are getting ready to shoot 4 more probably within the next week and a half or so.
Now, where can they go to view your web series?
Our website is www.bsonthebs.com.
Okay, Carrie is Actors Breakdown Royalty. Carrie has won. And I know people are saying, when are we getting our trophies? Carrie has won for best. Did you win for best miniseries, Carrie, and the SIFF Awards?
It's a web series, The Magical.
The Magical. She has one. She's a gifted writer. She's a gifted producer. This lady does everything. She does. She writes. She directs. She casts. She even does craft services. She makes ham sandwiches for the crew. She's fantastic.
I got to do that. That was my first job when I jumped into this industry last year. I was crew cook.
Were you really?
Yeah, and then later then I got Taft Hart lead on that. I'm like, it must have been some damn good pasta. I'm like, yeah, put acid in it. Yeah, I walked into this Taft Hart lead, because the director came up to me when I was cooking, and she goes, have you ever acted before? And, you know, of course, I'm like, yeah, my first 2 marriages. But
there you go. Where's my bada boom? Chris Yankee.
So back to bad jokes. So that's great. Keep going.
No, you're on a roll here.
Go ahead.
We're going to encourage you. What do you think about Chris Yonke's stand-up, Howard Dean? There you go.
Democratic Party
loves you.
Oh, yeah. 4 years later, proud to come out and say we support you.
Yeah, we support you. We didn't know if it was safe or not, but it's okay. It's only on internet radio, so we can come out and say it. Carrie,
yes.
Chris. I love Chris, though. I can sit and drink and get drunk and listen to Chris, and he'll talk to himself because he will do that, and he'll still entertain me.
Yeah, that's because there's at least 2 of us in the room, right?
Exactly.
Yes, I'm never alone. Please, I do support the new media agreements, and a lot of these web series I've had a chance to work on, and I got to work with Eric Roberts and Corey Feldman. And they talked about it to me. You know, this is like a 5-day thing. It was an independent film, but we talked about web series. So, Carrie, please keep going. I didn't mean to throw in some, comedy there just as a joke, but I did also. I wanted to be in this industry so bad. I volunteered and started off as a cook, and that's where I was going with that. And then for a web series, I did the same thing, and they made me second team. So that's why I got excited. So please forgive the interruption.
And Chris is really right. He's kissing up to you, and this is what I think he's saying to you.
Great ass!
Yes. Yes.
And you got your head all the way up it.
There you go.
Yes.
Chris.
Thank you, Doctor.
Thank you very much, Chris. Carrie. Carrie, are you giggling?
Who, me? No, I'm not giggling.
Yeah, no, she's okay, do not cast, and my name is
exactly.
Funny. Yes.
I thought I was on Larry King's show. What the hell is this? I made a wrong turn. Carrie.
Now, Larry King's near as much fun as this is.
Well, you know, he has a talk blog radio now, Larry. All right, but going back to you, Carrie. Mm-hmm. You have your series. You're shooting now. Are you looking for sponsors, financing? What's going on with financing on your web series?
We really are looking for any kind of sponsorship at all. You know, anybody that wants to, you know, put their message out there, we would love to do that, you know, be able to headline them on our show. We're always looking for money because we have, well, I have like five different things that I'm actually doing at the moment, and because I'm trying to keep a whole lot of people working. So we can always use funds to,
right.
I mean, we want to travel around and do, you know, actual set behind the camera on the set interviews,
right.
And stuff of movies that are being made to get some of the content that we want, you know, the not usually seen behind the scenes type stuff.
Right, and how are you going about now? Do you have a website where people can donate, or are you on Kickstarter, or are you on Indiegogo? How are you going about it that people can donate or contribute to your web series?
We are in the process of getting that donation done on the BS on the BS. So they can simply go to that website, and there'll be a place where they can click on it and donate to the company and stuff, so to fund projects in the works.
Okay, and
I have also a web series that's called The Critic's Plate that's up and running, and I have one that's called Doc in the Box that's up and running.
It's called what in the box?
Doc.
Doc. STOCK.
No, DOCTOR.
So Doc's in your box?
Doctor.
Doc in the box.
Carrie, what's in your box?
Doc's in the box. You know those places you used to go when you had that itch?
In my box. It's empty.
Is it? You got an empty box there, Carrie?
Yes.
Let me talk.
Wow, a lot of metaphors flying around here.
Chris. Well, it's time for me to check out. My name is not Chris. My name is Howard.
Yes, Stern. Yeah, right.
Yeah. Now, we're going to go around the table and guess what's in Carrie's box. Wayne, do you have a question for Carrie? Okay. Arlene,
I'm here. I'm just thinking of a question to ask her. I don't know what's in your
That's a good thing to have when you have a question.
What's in your little surprise box?
Well, you see, that's a surprise. You can't spoil that.
Eighth grade is proud to present.
I like to see what's in the gift before I unwrap it. Fill me in.
Once again,
Carrie, I love where your show's going, but I'm going to be honest with you. I'm kind of clueless of what you're talking about. So I kind of want to know what's in the box. Is it something that is going to bring it out? What's in the box?
What's in the box, Carrie?
What's that nickname for Kat? Here you guys. So what box are we talking about? Are we talking about
promotion? No idea.
You have
you know what's in Carrie's box?
Is it a jack in the box?
Do you have a product you need to pack it? Are we looking for people?
He's a pediatrician who is giving advice and stuff on child care and, you know, home remedy and, you know,
hints
and things like that about how to take care of your kids.
Okay, so we got the doc in a box. Is this something like, I don't know, it sounds interesting. So you have a doctor in your box, and he's talking about health care and everything like this. This is not like an OBYGN kind of thing.
No, he's a pediatrician.
Oh, he's a pediatrician. Okay, so that's your first guess?
He's doing his own show.
Oh, okay. Arlene, do you have a question for Carrie? And I guess her box is off limits.
Okay, well, I think Wayne covered that, the box thing. I'm going to ask the same thing I always ask.
I love Arlene. She takes the high road every time. When we go fifth grade education, she gets us into college.
Yeah, what, high as in stoned?
Well, I was going to ask almost what I ask everybody who's involved in some sort of a movie or a show is, you know, if you're say that you're shooting more episodes, So how do people get in touch with you if they want to audition for any episodes that are upcoming?
Good question.
Right now you can just send an email to bsonthebs@gmail.com.
Okay.
Now, is that B as a boy?
Links of this.
B as a boy. No, BS like bullshit, because that's what we do.
Bullshit,
a lot of bullshit,
yeah.
We find that Amber Show knows a lot about that.
And you're my favorite, Arlene. Arlene, you're my favorite. You were the chosen one.
The chosen one.
That's right. Cole's standing in the wings, Arlene.
My
name didn't even get brought up, so talk about rejection.
Oh, you know, Chris, Arlene could tell you. Arlene, how long did we have a discussion about bringing Chris in?
Dude, you popped me out faster than an 8-track cassette.
No. Arlene, back me up on this. We talked about you for a long time and how valuable you are. Am I correct, Arlene?
You are correct.
Thank you.
Okay, well, Arlene, please forgive my interruption, and please don't take my earlier comment as a slam, because I'd like to add some value.
I don't BS, but we really did talk about you.
Yes. Well, I think
the world of you. I love you, guy. I really do. You're upscale. You got a great wit and everything. But I can't make Wayne jealous because I love him too. And then we'll have an interracial fight, and then I'll be caused for this violence and black and white violence. But I love you guys.
It'd be a great topic, and I'd like to package that as our next thing. Here's the thing. I'm going to back Arlene up on this as a question. Sometimes we need to help people help us. So when somebody wants to help you, the first thing they want to know is how to get in touch with you. How do we post, you know, what can we do? And I'm somebody that looks at themselves as a switchboard operator. You know, opportunities aren't made. They're just discovered because they're always there. And so right now there's an opportunity for us to help. Help me, Carrie. It's Carrie, right?
Carrie.
Yeah.
Carrie.
What we want to do is we want to create an opportunity to draw in people but not have it waste a bunch of your time, because obviously when people call in or they start coming to you, sometimes they have a tendency to all come at once. It's like a school of fish or a bunch of ducks at the duck pond. You throw some bread out there, and every goddamn one of them comes to you. Now, this is a thing where, you know, if you had a preferred method, if you could envision an ideal day that was dedicated to raising funds, drawing interest, and packaging your product, if you wouldn't mind, I mean, is email the preferred way, or do you like to talk on the phone, or do you like to, I mean, how do you like to engage people when it comes to that fun topic of, hey, dude, got any money?
Actually, I'm not good at talking one-on-one to people about stuff like that, because the one thing I hate more in the whole world is fundraising. I want to be able to go out and do the work and let somebody else worry about the money.
You are a good director. That's what a director's mentality is.
That's what I got married a couple of times for that, too. They did worry about the money. Thank God they took it all. Now I've got nothing to worry about. But
I guess they said that you're no fun in bed.
Hey, I wouldn't know. I wasn't listening.
My bottom
it broke. But, Carrie, I think, and so knowing that, again, if I was your coach, I'd say, you know what, I understand, and we all have to do things when we're starting off and saying, you know, it's the parts of life that we don't want to deal with or don't like to do that we have to learn a little bit, or maybe we can invite others in to help us. And there's people out there, like I said, you know, reach out with your heart, grasp with your soul. That's today's message, folks.
Chris, you're absolutely right on a serious note, because what we've been doing, we're going to be changing the format next week. It's a minute left, and I got to go to Arlene's show. But here's what we're going to do. We've been reaching out to distribution people, investors, and everything. And I think next week, starting Friday, it'll be investors, distribution people will be on, along with other people who are pitching their shows right to them to see if they can get a deal done.
Again, remember, everybody's hands. The more hands you have on the merry-go-round, the faster it turns. And, of course, you know, the sicker we all get if we're sitting on it. But joke.
Where's
I agree.
My bada-boom? Where's my bada-boom?
And, Craig, I'll tell you what. You know, if Arlene's show's coming up, obviously I've been really
her show's coming up in about 1 minute. I got it. Chris, you're fantastic. I love you. I got to say my goodbyes and everything really quickly. Carrie, one more time. Where can they view your web series? Where they can get a hold of you to finance your web series? Give me all the information.
Okay, the web series you can view at www.bsonthebs.com. Any information, inquiries, or get a hold of me is bsonthebs@gmail.com.
Thank you very much, Carrie. And Carrie came on. She has a new web series. It's called The Box Office Fear. And it sounds like they're discussing current entertainment with unedited opinions. Is it a mixture of female and male, or just male people on this web, or females on this web series, Carrie?
It's male and female. We wanted the cross view. We want the male and
female. If you're
woman.
Jewish, it's about a bunch of yentas talking about entertainment news.
Hey, Brian, real quick. I just want to chime in on this real.
I have to think of Myers. We're going
to
go right into Arlene's show, but go ahead. Go ahead, Cole.
Really
quickly,
I just I'd love to film something in New York or maybe even come out to L.A. and talk about
so
what Sheila Booth is doing with the acid and the sex on screen. And I think it would be a good segment for your show. And also, one other thing. You know, the thing with religion is that everybody doesn't respect everybody else's religion. So until that happens, I agree with Wayne, bloodshed will continue. So until we respect everybody else's beliefs, then your beliefs mean nothing.
Okay. Well,
you
know,
I'm
going to have to say thank you, Carrie Brooks, for coming on to my show. Thank you, Chris Yankee. I know it's Yonke. I just want him to pronounce your name right. They say it over and over again, and we'll remember it. Chris Yonke for his input, and thank you for your time, sir, for coming on my show. My special guest, I'm going to call him as my guest because he wasn't a co-host today, Wayne D., CEO of Records, come and get it, Records. You got to come and get it. You got to come and get it. You got to come and get it. Wayne D., CEO, come and get it, Records. Come and get it. Come and get it. And Arlene Barsinger. I want to thank my entertainment reporter, and I owe her so much because I'm already in a minute of her time. Stay tuned for Unscripted with her special guest. She's going to be talking to, Arlene.
Brian Dagger and Jamie D. Bernard.
That's right. Jamie is currently prepping for Miss Olympia. Miss Olympia? Is Jamie a guy?
Miss Olympia.
Is Jamie a guy going for Miss Olympia?
Good trouble, Brian.
She is a very beautiful female, and she is competing in the world's most popular bodybuilding competition.
Does she have a penis?
No.
What's inside the box, dude?
Don't be rude to my guest, Brian. I'll kick you off.
What's in the box? Okay. Stay tuned for Arlene Unscripted with her very special guest, Miss Olympia, and she has no testicles. All right, I want to thank everybody. Wayne D., CEO, come get a record. Thank you, my pal, my friend, my buddy. Thank you, Chris Gonkey, for coming in.
Thank you. I'm going to go out. You know, I'm going to have to go look 35 to 75 now and see if somebody will hire me. Now, Arlene, am I not staying on, or am I clearing off to open up the gates for more guests? I forgot to ask.
Well, it doesn't matter. If you want to hang around, you can hang around. It's just me.
Tell you what, I'll tune in as a listener open up the door. I mean, it's great. I'm looking forward to this. I know you're going to knock them out. Thanks for having me on, folks. Today might be a bad day, but I'm going to survive it for a better day.
I love you, Chris.
Dirty laundry. Copy that. Chris is flying out.
Ladies and gentlemen.
You guys, knock him dead.
Arlene Barsinger. Our special guest today will be a very interesting show. Coming to you. Unscripted. Now let's go highbrow. And let's listen to this great interview. Better show I could ever have.
I make my living off the evening news. Just give me something. Something I can use. People love it when you lose. They love dirty laundry.
Ladies and gentlemen, Unscripted, Arlene Barsinger.
And I love that song.
Take it away, Arlene.
Thank you. I'm actually going to have entertainment news today. Woohoo! Not much, but a little bit. I wanted to talk about Kathy Bates. Let me tell you something. I don't know about you guys, but I love
Kathy
Bates.
Her brother, Master.
Let me tell you something. She's an amazing person, and she's very, very strong. And I am ignoring you. I am ignoring you. Yes, I am ignoring you.
Okay.
I'm loving you, Brian. I'm loving it. I love that shit.
I would appreciate that joke. I'm just not even talking about it. But anyway, she actually, I don't know if you guys know, but a few years back, she actually had ovarian cancer and survived that. And battled that for a little while. But now she was she had been recently diagnosed with breast cancer. And she decided to have a double mastectomy.
Wow.
And, yeah, so anyway, you know, that's a really a scary thing for a woman to do because, you know, women are known that what makes us feminine are two things, our ovaries and our breasts. So
I just think of three things, but go ahead.
I agree, though.
Leave it up to Brian. But anyway, so I just, you know, want to give out a shout-out to Kathy Bates and commend her for her braveness in battling cancer twice and also going through these surgeries and having a full and speedy recovery.
Yeah, me too.
And then I wanted to talk about Aaron Rodgers. We briefly talked about him yesterday, and, you know, he's a quarterback for the Green Bay Packers. And the Boys to Men, I don't know if it was a whole group, it was just one of them, sang the song before the game. And he made a bet, one of them made a bet with Aaron Rodgers and said, you know, hey, if the 49ers win, you know, you have to wear a 49ers jersey. And if you guys win, then I'll wear a Green Bay Packers jersey. And so guess what? 49ers won. Woo!
Oh,
go San Francisco.
Man.
Yeah, so.
You better give me that jersey
to
quick.
Walk
I
want to
see it.
I got plenty of Frisco jerseys
you can wear. You can buy one.
That's right. So my sister's a huge Green Bay Packers fan, and so now I have to just kind of rub it in her face.
Wow. To non-football people, that means nothing, but to really hardcore football players, that means a lot. That is something. That's a bet.
Well, he's loving to walk around his teammates wearing a San Francisco 49er shirt. You know what I'm saying? It's not like, you know, the guys from Boys to Men, it's not like he's part of the team. You know, that would be like him wearing, the Boys to Men guy wearing some other team, what is that, NSYNC shirt, walking around with an NSYNC shirt or something.
Millie Vanilli shirt.
Yeah. So anyway, I just have to say, that's going to be interesting because I have yet to see any pictures of him walking around. With that, so I'm wondering if he's locking himself inside the house and just not going anywhere.
yesterday on ESPN, Major League Baseball Network, before the game, Joe Nathan, the closing pitcher for the Texas Rangers, made a bet, similar bet, and I guess he's a Giants fan. Anyway, they showed him on the baseball field before the game yesterday wearing a full Dallas Cowboy Tony Romo uniform with the helmet. He was throwing football in the outfield. That's pretty funny.
Well, at least he didn't have to go to that extreme because that would have been interesting if they had him walking around a full gear.
You know, I feel sorry for Arlene. She's so highbrow and so educated. She has to put up with us.
Hey, I love you guys.
She tries to be so professional, and you know our mentality. Yeah, I include you too, Wayne. I see you there.
I'm glad you do because I sure did have a shit grin on my face.
It's a give and take, right, Arlene?
That's right.
Brian, did you guys see that 63-yard field goal in the San Fran Green Bay game?
Well, this is Arlene's show, so I only.
I'm done. Listen, I'm the one that's been respecting the mute button, so I'll put mute back on.
Arlene runs the show here. This is Arlene and Unscripted. We're now officially on her show.
I'm muting. You call when I hear my name, I'll chime in.
She got the rain. She's the captain. I just sit here.
I don't think Cole knows what a mute button is.
What do you mean? I was muted the whole show. I was muted for over a half hour.
Are you sure that wasn't duct tape? I'm sure it was duct tape.
No, listen. I'm hitting mute again. When I hear my name, when I hear a question asked, like in class, I'll speak up, but I'm muted.
So anyway, I want to tell you about my guest that's coming on, Brian Jagger. He's the first one up. And you know what? This is crazy because I've known Brian for a little while, and I didn't know he was a comedian. So go figure. I knew he was an actor, producer, but I had no idea he was a comedian. And so this might be kind of fun. And
It
will be fun. But yeah, he's actually in this show with me called The Lobbyist, and The Lobbyist is going to be really neat. I'm going to let him tell you a little bit about it, but I'm going to give you a little background on us and our auditioning. Brian and I, we actually have a lot of friends in the same circle, and we knew each other through Facebook from friends that we've all worked with, but we never officially met each other until I went in for this audition. And so Brian had the privilege of kissing yours truly in an audition And it had to be a very passionate kiss. So,
was there any tongue? Was there any tongue involved in this kiss?
No tongue involved.
Your tongue did not kind of creep into that little fine line of, hey, this is not professional, I'm calling HR.
Yo, it can't be healthy without the tongue. Sorry.
Let me ask Wayne. I'm going to go around to call. I know this is your show, but I got to go with this, Arlene. You open up.
Okay, go ahead.
Wayne, if you had a kissing scene with Arlene and you saw her, she's a beautiful lady. You saw her. Now, are you going to be professional? Or are you just going to go, you know, you're going to go for it and I can get another role in another production?
Hey, you know what? I'm going to keep it real.
Yeah, I'm going to keep it real, too.
Hey, you know what? Let me not go there. But you know what? Hey, I'm going to say like this. Of course. I mean, you know, the passion is going to be there regardless. Period. You know, so, I mean.
Well, and it is Wayne. I'm talking about Wayne now.
Yeah, hey, I'm taking off my shoes.
If we're gonna make this real, just come here. We give you a kiss. You know what I'm saying? Forget all this. You know, we talk afterwards. You know?
All right, Brian, well, I'm not gonna ask you because you're gonna get pornographic, but I can read your mind.
Hey, say Ryan, I'll be butter, Parquet.
Sorry, Artie.
You not go there, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, you just heard your fan. So you go ahead and pretend it was professional. So go ahead. You're doing a kissing scene.
Yeah, and so we did this kissing scene, and I just remember, like,
an erection or anything?
I'm sorry?
Did you feel an erection when you're doing a kissing scene?
Did the Levi's rise?
He was very professional, unlike some people I know. But
who's the other person? I want to know.
Oh.
You just let the cat out the bag, Arlene. It's too late now. There ain't no going back. You on the Hammer Show. You on the Arlene Show. You got to tell us.
Yes, Arlene. Go ahead. Come on with your story. I'm sorry.
No, you on the phone, girl. Hey, listen. You got to open up the mouth. You spoke on it. I need to know.
Well, seriously, there was a chair between us. There was a chair arm between us, so we weren't exactly close. So we tried to do the scene as best as we possibly could with the arm between us. And so he was very professional. And I had to look at him and ask him, I said, you know, you're the first dude I kissed in like 16 years.
What were
you thinking
about when you were kissing him? Did you have any romantic thoughts?
Well, no offense to Brian, because he's actually an incredibly attractive man.
No.
But I actually had to think about my husband because I'm one of those, I don't believe in cheating.
Of course not. And
it's
what is professional, Arlene? Is professional meaning he doesn't approach your tongue or he doesn't push his
I'm just having
you?
A hard time believing this. Because, you know, women's nature are more dirtier than men's, but we're on air right now, so someone can go check the archives. You're doing the right job. I see where you go with it, Arlene. You're doing a great job. You almost had me fooled for a second. You know what I mean?
No, seriously, we were very professional, and I really, you know, Brian was very professional. He's married, too, and, you know, I don't know how people find it so easy to do these scenes because it's actually pushing me to my limit because in the movie, in the TV series, I play a woman who cheats, who sleeps around. She's not married, but she sleeps with a married man. And in real life, I'm the type of person that if you're married, man, you are married. That is the person you're with. You need to be faithful. You need to love them.
How much research have you done
with the kissing to get it right?
Yeah, we'll have to practice a few more times, I'm sure.
Did you, Arlene, seriously, this is your show, buddy. This is a serious question. When you are an actress and you are doing a kissing scene, you know it's called a screen kiss. And can you describe what a screen kiss is? Because a lot of people don't know what a screen kiss is.
You're talking about like when we're actually being taped and all that stuff.
Right. When you're actually talking.
Well, it's very actually awkward. You know, and Brian and I were talking about this. It's not. When you're watching us on TV, it looks real, but in reality, it's very awkward because, you know, you're trying to make sure that everybody can see the other person. You know, you're not covering their face with your hands or your hair is out of the way. Yeah, it's actually quite awkward. And, you know, and actually I was going to ask Brian about that because he actually did a scene in a movie where the girl was completely nude. and he was implied nude because he's covered up in a blanket. And he's like, you know, it's not, when we were talking about these scenes, because, you know, for he and I to be on this together, I have a lot of improv nudity implied nudity. And, you know, we have scenes together and stuff like that. So when I was asking about it, because this is a first for me, you know, he even described to me that it's not all fun and games. It's kind of hard. You're talking about getting an erection, so let's get real. You know, guys might see that, and they would, but when you're sitting there and you have all these cameras on you and people standing there and you're thinking about your lines and what your next position is and, oh, make sure you don't cover this part, and, yeah, it's very intimate, very.
Because, you know, my problem is if you have dyslexia and you do a news thing, you could almost kiss the wrong lips and get fired.
No comment.
All right, where's my bada boom? It was complete silence here. Okay, to save me.
Or you could kiss the wrong lips and get hired.
Some people pay for that,
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, Arlene. This is your segment, and look what we're doing to you.
Are my guests here yet so we can get the heat off of them?
Yeah,
where
I think
your
guests are here. Let's pray that her guests are here. 916, I'm coming to you. We're hoping that your Arlene's guests save her. 916?
Yeah, I don't know if I can save her, but I can at least address some of the topics discussed.
This, ladies and gentlemen, I think this is Brian Jaeger. Is this Brian Jaeger?
Dagger, like Mick, yes, sir.
Yeah, I have a habit of doing that. It's mispronouncing the last name.
It's DNA.
It's a mental condition.
Yeah, it is. Brian, you're now on with Unscripted with Arlene Barsinger. Welcome
Happy
to the show.
Happy to be on.
All right, here we go.
So anyway, Brian, you were saying you were going to address some of the issues.
Well, no, I think right where what you were just talking about right before I came on, as far as the conversation that you and I had about love scenes that I've had to do before on camera, and it's very not nearly as entertaining as one might think. The choreography involved with, okay, hand must be here. I have a tattoo on my left shoulder, and, you know, to avoid that being seen because the character doesn't have the tattoo, so it's, okay, well, let's also move at this angle, and, okay, for the camera to capture, you know, what we want when we want it, it's we need you to be here after about 7 seconds, so kind of think to 7 seconds when you're going to turn. It's stressful thinking about all the choreography. I'd rather be doing a Broadway show dancing than doing a love scene on camera.
Are you gay?
That would be interesting to see.
No.
All right. When I hear somebody say, I'd rather be in a musical than kiss Arlene, I have to question the sexuality. All right, I'm going back to my closet now.
That's some dangerous stuff you're playing with. I know it's funny, but it's not funny.
I'm going back to my closet. Man. This is Arlene's show. You're not going to hear a peep out of me.
So anyway, Brian Jaeger, you almost have me saying Jaeger now. Thanks a lot, Brian the Hammer.
Thank you.
So I wanted to ask you, why don't you tell us a little bit more about the lobbyist, because I wasn't trying to cut into you where you could tell us about it. Since I'm part of the show, I wanted somebody else who's actually in the show, in the TV series with us. So can you tell us more about the lobbyist?
Yeah, The Lobbyist is a fantastic project that is from the mind of a Sacramento area producer director named John Wagner, and John has this concept for a show and called The Lobbyist about a power player in the Sacramento political scene who basically has enough power and influence that he sways legislation and the legislators and the governor, but it's set up in a little bit different way in that it's kind of a drama thriller. I've described it as The West Wing meets Dallas, so it's kind of got that primetime soap feel with the characters, such as your character Arlene, there's also the thriller aspect and the kind of the political intrigue aspect that goes not just of, you know, who's buying off who, but there's you know, murders and kidnappings and political power plays like that. So if I had to throw in another show that's kind of similar to, would even maybe throw in The Shield as far as the characters that are very dangerous, but you're still kind of rooting for them at the same time.
Mm-hmm. And so why don't you tell us about the character that you're playing?
Yeah, I'm playing Elliot Richards. Elliot is the lobbyist that the show centers around, and he is a gentleman who has worked his way up through the system to finally get a job where he's not only a lobbyist, but he's the lobbyist. He's the most powerful player in Sacramento politics. And kind of the joke about his character is not only does he know where the bodies are buried, he helped put them there. And he has, because of his background, he has very little morals as far as how he gets things done and who he gets them done with. And he has an ex-wife, a current wife, a mistress, and a few friends on the side. He doesn't care about anybody but himself at the end of the day, and he just wants to continue his power rise and maintain his power.
So now, so can you tell us about some of the actors that are involved in this series? You know, obviously, I'm involved, but I played Mistress. But can you tell us about the other two characters?
Well, there's quite a few characters. As far as the other gals in Elliot's life, the ex-wife is played by Tressa Oler. Tressa is a fantastic actress who I've had the pleasure of working with a few times. She was a guest star on my web series, Now Hiring, and then her and I played husband and wife in a recent dramatic short film called A Bit of Forever. So this is not our first time working together, so it's great to continue working with somebody so talented. And then also Rachel Van Cleve plays my wife in this, and Rachel I first met when she was an actress cast in a production of a play that I wrote earlier this year. And so, again, it's great to be able to continue to work with people that I've worked with before that are so extremely talented.
Can you tell them about our relationship as a – because – I play Gia, and she plays a very huge part in Elliot's life. Can you tell people about that?
Yeah, Gia is a very, very intelligent, obviously beautiful woman who, regardless of how much Elliot knows that she's dangerous because she's extremely intelligent, extremely cunning, and if anybody could take his power away, she could do it. Even though he knows all of that, he still can't help but continue to be around her. So Gia is that almost addiction for Elliot that he can't overcome, and it's bringing him down. Even though he knows it is, he keeps going back.
Yeah, and one of the things that I learned about this character is that she's also powerful as well. She's, you know, she's risen to power herself, so she has a lot of power herself from what
absolutely.
I understand.
Absolutely. She's a very cunning woman and knows how to get things done and how to have other people do them for her. And as a result, she has put herself in a position where she doesn't need anybody, but she still uses them anyhow.
Right. So this is going to be interesting to, because, you know, the funny part is when I'm pushing myself to the max with this character, I'm one of those, I'm a very giving person, and I typically don't like to take. And I rather give than to take. And so it's... quite opposite of what my I figured that if I could play this part, I can pretty much do anything because not only am I, sleeping with a married man, which I am so against that kind of stuff, and then I'm using people. It's so against my character, my true nature, that I figured, man, if I could pull this off, I can do any acting.
Uh-huh.
Does anybody have any questions for Brian?
Uh-huh.
I'm sorry, that's just my sling blade coming out.
Anyway, do you guys have questions besides
Slingly? Yes, I have a question. I'm raising my hand.
Okay.
Mr. Sir Brian.
Among other things.
I want to say, first of all, I really love your first name. I'm a fan.
Well, yes, and as you may have noticed, I spell it right.
Ow. Well, let me tell you why I spell it wrong. People notice that, and they come on the show and tell me you spelled your name wrong, and I spell it right. Yeah. Anyway, about the lobbyist.
Well, now, I thought the...
Wait a minute, I spelled my name right.
That's what I'm saying. I thought, wait a minute. I wasn't saying you spelled it wrong. I was saying we both spell it right.
Well, I can see you're a hostile guest, sir. I'm only kidding. Brian, I want to talk to you about the lobbyists. That's your movie?
That's the web series that Arlene
and web
I
series?
Are co-starring in.
And currently, how many episodes have you shot?
We're actually in pre-production right now. So right now we have we've done most of the casting, and we have done some promotional photos, but the on-camera filming has yet to begin.
Okay, because I'm all about pre-production, post-production, actually more pre-production. As far as financing is concerned, do you have the backing to have this series on as a web series to go on for a long period of time, or are you still looking for the financing of the series?
Still looking for financing. Now, this isn't my project, quote-unquote, so I'm not the lead producer on it. So as far as all the specifics, I couldn't tell you just because I don't know. But I do know that John is looking for more investors to continue the series. I know that he has some people already on board, but like any project like this, there's always room for more.
Okay. And during your love scene with Arlene, how much rehearsal was there going on before you actually filmed this love scene?
We haven't filmed any scenes like that. We've only done her audition. So.
Oh.
So this happened during the audition. Now, was there a casting couch anywhere near?
No casting couch. Just a couple of chairs and a couple of cameras.
Really low budget.
I must have done okay because after we finished with the scene, the only thing we got from director John Wagner and Doc was actually there as well was I got a wow from John, and then Doc said that was a very powerful performance. So I don't know if he meant the whole scene or just the kissing scene. I wasn't sure yet. I didn't ask.
Okay, and we have your other guests holding on, but I want to talk to Brian some really. I mean, it's your show. I do have a couple more serious questions.
Well, Matt, you can go ahead and ask the questions, and
okay.
then we'll bring you on.
Sir, did you get an erection at any time during
the
performance of a love scene with Arlene? Did you have an erection the night before thinking about you're going to kiss Arlene?
What?
So,
okay, you're going to have to ignore him.
First off, I had
it's
never met
question.
Arlene before we did this audition. Secondly, again, back to our very beginning of the conversation, these are not sexual. They're not that entertaining as you might think. They are much more focused and nerve-wracking than they are sensual. So there's not, regardless of how absolutely stunning or beautiful the woman is, it's not that kind of movement. It really is.
Now, you are a married man.
I am.
So you had to give me that answer.
The absolute
truth. I'm just joking with you. I know how hard it is. I'm just kind of making fun. But on a more positive note, I want to thank you for coming on Arlene's show Unscripted. I don't want to.
Well, I want him to tell us about his other project real fast, too.
Okay.
He's got a couple other projects, so go ahead.
I just have to inform you, Arlene, you have 2 more minutes in your segment because you have your other guest, the lady who's an Olympic bodybuilder, and I think she's going to kick your ass. But anyway, I just have to say
that
to you.
No way.
Brian, there's a nice transition because the series I'm about to discuss will be the next episode we're filming is going to star IFBB pro Jamie DiBernard.
Oh, really?
So,
Have you had any kissing scenes with... Would you like to feel her muscles?
Who would like who?
Jamie, the Olympia. Is this Jamie Bernard?
DiBernard.
Yeah, DiBernard. Excuse me. Yeah, have you ever? Would you like to see her naked?
Wow, really?
I know I would. Wayne.
Well, I'm sure she's excited to get onto the show now for that conversation.
Here. I mean, no.
Anyhow, I'm now hiring.
I'm talking as a man. I'm sure I haven't seen her picture, but Kelly's yelling at me saying she's beautiful. Stop it. But I'm saying to you, when was the last time you saw a woman naked full of muscles?
Oh, wee.
Anyways,
I saw myself.
Boy, we're having dead air.
Maybe a 24-hour novelist.
I went out with a bodybuilder one time, and I'm kidding you. I'm not kidding you. She, I mean, to see that sight, because it is just unbelievable. To see a woman who's so feminine, but yet has not even a six-pack, she has a keg, and she's looking great. They're bodybuilders. They're beautiful.
So you better watch out, Brian. It might take you out. You keep that stuff up.
Jamie is an absolutely gorgeous woman, and for anybody who wants to see more pictures of her, they should go on to Facebook and go to facebook.com/JamieDeBernardFit and see, because you're right, she's an absolutely gorgeous woman.
Kelly,
and we're excited
to
have her on our show coming up.
Kelly just typed to me, say, you just killed the show. You are Arlene's Cole. Thank you, Kelly.
And Cole's like right there going, gee, thanks.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
I know Cole's getting to that mute button real quick. Hold on. She's rushing
okay,
to it.
Brian,
yeah.
Tell us about Now Hiring. We only got a few minutes, so tell us about Now Hiring.
So Now Hiring is a new web series just premiered this week. You can find it at youtube.com/RawTV360. And Now Hiring is a series of web series shorts about a fictional government agency office that guarantees everyone that comes in for an interview gets an interview and gets a job, but they don't necessarily get a good job. And so we have random characters that are pretty much the oddest, weirdest characters you could imagine coming in for a job interview, doing the interview, and then also getting placed in the most inappropriate jobs you can imagine.
And you call me inappropriate.
Well, they're not as inappropriate
as
you, Brian. They're just, you know, inappropriate.
You have a great sense of humor, Brian. I like you. I am directing a couple of films. You know what I mean? I'm thinking about using you during rehearsal. I'm only kidding.
Don't need John Cameron.
Oh, yeah, tell us.
Yeah, really. Don't worry. Don't worry. It'll be on the air. Don't worry. A little accident in the cutting room floor, but don't worry. Next time.
Details.
Yeah. Arlene, he sounds like a great guy. And
he is a great guy.
Contact information.
We need his contact information. So how does somebody get a hold of you if they want to hire you on as an actor, comedian, if they want to get on your series? How do they contact you?
Well, on Facebook, the series or the website for Now Hiring is nowhiring.tv. And pretty much anybody can find me through that website as well, or on Facebook, facebook.com/Brian Jagger, BrianJagger.
And you got the moves like Jagger, right?
Yeah, I got to tell you, I love it when that song came out. Everybody, you know, I heard it from everybody, but that's okay. I like it.
I can totally see you dancing to it now. Okay, thank you so much, Brian, for coming on, and you're welcome to stay on.
Thank you, guys. No, I will let you guys focus all on the important person you actually have coming on your show today. And I'm just honored to actually get to say that I know Jamie, and everyone listening is in for a treat to be able to hear her and her story and what she's training for Olympia. So I'll let you guys focus on.
I am so excited for her too. She's just amazing and beautiful, and not only she's beautiful on the outside, but boy, she's just, you know, beautiful on the inside as well. And you can tell, and she's just super sweet. I just can't wait to get her on.
An amazing woman. Enjoy and have a great one. And thanks for having me on.
Thank you, Brian.
Thanks.
Bye. And ladies and gentlemen, we'll just take a brief break, and we'll bring on the great Jamie DeBernard, a special guest on Arlene Unscripted Show. Just a 27-second commercial.
Hello, this is Kevin from Johnson's. August is a great time for a suit sale, and we want to keep our tailor shop busy. So we mark down our suits from Hugo Boss, Hart Schafter Marks, Samuelson, and Joseph Abboud. We know it's hot, and so is the suit sale. Save up to 50% on select suits and sport coats, and still get our expert alterations at a minimal charge. Same-day alterations are always available. We want to be your choice for clothing. Johnson's located at East 21st and K96.
At Johnson's Clothier, a proud sponsor of the Brian Jackson, Brian Hammer Jackson. It's my network. Sorry.
And you don't even know the name.
It's Johnson's Clothier. It's located in Wichita, Kansas. Please visit the store. All right, and coming up on Unscripted, here's part two of Arlene's show. I was trying to give her a proper introduction, but I couldn't. I couldn't find a clip.
I don't know if there's such a thing. She's such so awesome, you know. I don't know if there's such a thing as a proper introduction for Jamie, so.
Oh, really? Well, here, ladies and gentlemen, we're starting Arlene's second round of her show, and she's going to have the awesome, awesome Jamie DeBernard. Ladies and gentlemen, Unscripted, Jamie DeBernard. Jamie, are you on the line, please? Uh-huh. Jamie? Oh, maybe I should push a button.
That would help.
916, you're on live with Brian Hammer Jackson. Is this Jamie?
I am on the line.
Yes, you are. Ladies and gentlemen, coming to you live, Jamie DeBernard on an Unscripted Arlene Barsinger show. Hello. You're
hello.
On.
Hello. Jamie DeBernard, who I have no idea who she is, but here she comes. Woo-hoo!
There she is. Oh, they love you. They just don't know. They're looking at your body. They love it.
No, I'm talking about you have no idea who I am. Everybody else, I'm sure, does.
I have an idea who you are. You are Jamie DeBernard.
Well, that's good. Yeah, I co-host a radio show as well. Actually, my show is terrestrial radio as well as Wi-Fi, and it's actually starting in a couple of hours today. But I do a little prep on the front end just so I know who the hell I'm talking to. It's helpful.
Yes, Brian, get with it. Get with
it, Brian. And ladies and gentlemen, she was bragging that she hosts the real radio show, Jamie DeBernard. Your
yes,
show, so Arlene.
I'm
out.
Radio show, the Boomf and All show at 2 p.m. Pacific Coast time today. www.femfital.com. There you go, a little plug.
Cool. All right. Thank you. Yeah, and we're going to get that information so that people can tune into your show, too. And I'm sure there's a lot of people stammering to figure out where you are. So, how are you doing today, Jamie, minus Brian harassing you over here?
Okay. I'm doing great. I mean, it's, you know, I'm 2 weeks out from the Olympia, and so it's crunch time for me right now. It's pretty intense, you know, doing quite a bit of cardio and, you know, and pretty tight on the diet, you know, just getting ready. But, you know, I wanted to clarify because Brian, you know, kept saying that I was a bodybuilder, and I'm not, so.
Oh, really?
Well,
you're Miss Olympia, so you're not a bodybuilder. I stand corrected. She is Miss Olympia.
I am not Miss Olympia.
Her body's not that good.
She's trying to go for Miss Olympia.
Okay, well,
I'm
that's
not
good.
Miss Olympia.
That's
so why don't you tell Brian, who seems to be clueless, why don't you tell Brian what you're going to actually compete for?
Yeah, let me hear it.
Okay, so in the IFBB, which is the organization for the professionals in what we do, there's the Super Bowl for us is called Olympia, and approximately 24 people in each of the categories qualify in the world qualify for this event, and it is in 2 weeks in Las Vegas. It's the same event that Arnold, you know, our pristine governor, former governor over here in California, won. So that's how people go, oh, okay, IFBB, that's what Olympia is. There is bodybuilding for women there. There are other categories as well. The category I happen to be in is called figure. So we are more like fitness models, and so we don't flex. We just basically, it's more of a pageant kind of situation where we pose. Then there's also another category for the women called bikini, and they're more, we're more the fitness models that you might see in Oxygen magazine. I'm actually in Oxygen magazine this month. There's also the bikini models that you might see in like a Shape magazine or, you know, something like that. And they're in the fitness magazines as well, but it's a little less muscle than we have. But certainly we're nowhere near the bodybuilders, not even close.
Well, and you're also in Ironman magazine.
Can I ask a question? No, it's your show. I'm sorry, Arlene.
Well, I'll let you ask in a second, but you're also in Ironman magazine as well. How many magazines have you been featured in?
You know, honestly, I don't know because half the time I don't even know when I'm in there. I actually have people posted on my Facebook, oh, look, you're in this magazine or that magazine, a lot, because a lot of times, like the one that's in Oxygen in October issue is the Pittsburgh Pro when I competed at that. So a lot of times, you know, they do like to feature the different big pro shows and who won them and who, you know, placed and that kind of thing. So I know I've been in, you know, Flex the last few months. I've been in Oxygen a few times. I've been in Muscle Fitness Hers and some of the other, you know, pretty much a lot, Ironman. I mean, most of the magazines that are centered around, you know, fitness.
Right. Well, I'm going to ask you, too, is that, you know, because I've heard your interviews and stuff, and so I'm going to ask you on my show, because there, you have listeners on here who may not even know who you are, and that I'm sure we have people
wow,
who know.
Wow, look at the body on her. I'm sorry, I just saw your picture.
Oh, yeah, he's got to throw that in there. You got to, he's got,
I just saw her picture.
Out.
She is a gorgeous lady.
Thank you.
Okay,
so I'm wondering what inspired you to get involved in this. Like, I used to bodybuild, and it actually wasn't really – I was just really in shape. I never really bulked up. But I'm one of those women who bulk up really easily. I had male friends who envied the fact that I could bulk up so easily. And I remember I did it because it was – I'm actually addicted to exercising and working out and stuff. And it was more of like an adrenaline thing more than it was because I was trying to look good or whatever. It was kind of my addiction. What inspired you to start doing this?
Well, it's kind of a funny story. I was in high school and my mom and I joined a gym and we were in there fooling around, just working out. I was a cheerleader and did all that kind of stuff. And I was approached by a gentleman and he said, you know, have you ever thought about powerlifting? He said, I have a women's powerlifting team. And I had no idea what he was talking about. And I was, but I was game. I'm sure, like, sure, let's do it. You know, what the heck? So I started.
You have some
doing,
beautiful cans.
So what?
Anyway, go ahead. You've got Tourette's syndrome, I'm telling you. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, so I started competing in powerlifting. I lived in Louisiana at the time. I won Southeast Louisiana, came in sixth against the guys in my weight category, and I loved it. I just got so charged up from it. And
I'm just saying she has a beautiful body.
She does.
Thank you.
She really does. Is your breast real?
That's kind of an
every woman
question.
That.
I'm sorry?
He asks what every woman
I
has.
Do.
Anyway. I don't have any
question
he asked me that, but
anyway, go ahead. I just wondered because on stories and thing, I'm just saying you have a natural, beautiful natural. Wait, Kelly's yelling at me. Hold on one second. What is she saying? I'm going to make you listen to this interview when you're done, and you're acting like an ass. I'm sorry, I was not supposed to read that out loud to you. So,
yeah, like, you know, the one nice thing is my co-host can tend to ask inappropriate questions as well. Not that inappropriate, but ones that kind of get me embarrassed every once in a while. So I'm kind of used to it. But you know,
well,
I
never.
He says he never, but he has. You were saying, and it's funny because I got addicted in high school myself. That's really interesting. It was actually our basketball coach who got us into the gym, and we had to go in there every Mondays and Wednesdays and stuff like that. And we had a barbell club. And so I actually joined the barbell club, and there was all these guys, these massive-sized guys in high school, and then there was me and two other girls.
Yep.
And I don't know if that was like that for you.
It's motivating when all the cute guys are in the gym and you're the only two girls.
Yeah, there's
only
two of us here.
You got some really nice hips.
Thanks, Brian. Anyway,
you
know,
the funny thing,
you know,
on the hips thing, the funny thing is that I have to
see Arlene.
Hips.
Yeah, I touched on her hips, and she wants to talk about her hips.
But
now you cannot call me a pervert.
So I'll talk about my hips.
Thank you. Please discuss your hips.
The thing about figure is that it's all about having the X frame, so we want to have nice shoulders, you know, going down, you know, our lats tapering to the waist, and then, you know, coming out with the sweeps on the quads. I don't have very big hips. I have very narrow hips, so it can tend to make my waist look a little straight up and down, even though it's really small.
But
so
your hips,
that's actually,
your hips
actually
make your ass look better, though.
Well, it actually helps with the feminine figure. It really helps with the feminine figure, you know, because, like, you want to be shapely and you want to have, you know, you want to be proportioned right. And it's all about making sure that you build the muscles in the right spot in the proper areas to make yourself, like, you know, if for an example, I'm very pear-shaped or spoon-shaped. So So whenever I work out, I have to work out my upper body and build it up, you know, my sides. And, you know, a lot of people don't know any terms for muscles and stuff, but I have to build myself up on the upper body more than the lower body because I'm already bigger on the lower body. So for me to make myself into the right shape, a nice hourglass shape, you know, I have to make my, you know, specifically tailor my workout in order to do that. So I do less in my legs because that's where I bulk up, and I don't bulk up as much in my upper body. So I work out harder in my upper body, or I used to anyway. I don't do this anymore, but I used to work out my upper body more to even it out, to try and get that nice shape. So I think that's what she's trying to express is with her hips. It's the same thing.
Exactly. Yeah,
right.
Creating balance, because I have to do the opposite because my upper body builds very quickly. So I have to work on kind of bringing in that lower body so that it kind of balances it all out. Absolutely.
So now what kind of – so tell me about the tell me about your training regimen, like you're getting ready for Miss Olympia, and, you know, it's not easy. Tell us the life, the day-to-day life of Jamie DeBernard when you're training to be Miss Olympia.
DeBernard.
Yeah, you know, it changes as my body changes, you know. I have, you know, a team that helps me out. My coach is Kim Odo, and he's the top coach in our industry, so he'll tell me what to do, which is usually more cardio, less carbs, you know, as we get closer and closer to the show. So it just kind of depends on where I am. I did a lot of shows this year, so I took some time off, and so we've had to, you know, kind of bring everything back in tight again after a couple of vacations and a little bit of extra eating. So yeah, now I'm just kind of burning off that last little bit, getting ready. It's, you know, 45 minutes of cardio in the morning, 45 minutes of cardio in the evening. My weight training is usually in the middle of the day. About 5 days a week I do weights. Every day I do cardio.
Wow.
I eat 6 times
that
a day.
Incredible.
Yeah, 2.5 to 3 hours I eat.
Wow.
So this is going to be a silly question for you.
Good.
So does your husband ever feel intimidated by, you know, are you more muscular than he is? Because I've never seen him.
Oh, no.
So are you
more? No. Yeah, check out my Facebook. My husband's a pretty big guy. It's actually funny that when we go to shows, if people don't know who I am, they'll always think he's competing, and he doesn't. So, and he's, you know, 6'2", and he's a big guy. So, no, I think he feels pretty manly.
I'm like wondering if you guys sit at the family table and decide, you know, well, you know, I want to do this today, and you're like, no, I want to do this workout today, and then you're like, okay, let's arm wrestle over it.
You know what? Honestly, I can't work out with him. He works out way too hard.
Oh, really?
I honestly cannot keep up with him.
So basically, you've been doing this your whole life, pretty much, working out and working on your body.
I have. I mean, you know, I have 2 kids, so, you know, I started doing the powerlifting and then I started to bodybuild in college and then, you know, got married, had kids, and took a lot of time off. I didn't actually decide to come back to competing again until my kids were teenagers because I didn't really want to be that focused on competing while the kids were little. So I have a 16-year-old and an 18-year-old now.
What?
I just started.
What? Are you serious?
I'm serious.
Yeah.
Wow. Wait a minute. Let me look at that picture again. Are you serious? Wait,
yeah, you look so young.
You have a 16-year-old and an 18-year-old?
I do.
You look like you're 19.
Now, do your kids work out as well? Do your kids get into this and work out as well?
My son, my 18-year-old, he does do weight training. He's kind of at that point, you know, where he's like – really skinny because, you know, he's like 6'2", and he's 8, you know what I mean? He just grew really fast. My daughter's a big soccer player, so she plays competitive soccer. She has no interest in weightlifting, you know? She's like, I'm not doing what you do.
You know, it's funny because it's the opposite of my house. You know, my son, my husband and I were athletes when we were young. So, you know, I played every sport they would let a girl play. And then my husband, you know, he was on the swim team. He played soccer and whatever else. But it's uncanny because we thought our son would be my son started off in gymnastics and he was actually incredibly gifted and they tried to move him up to pre-competition like really fast and get him into competition and in most parts he does not have much interest in playing team sports. Now he likes it just to kind of kick the ball around or whatever else, but he has no, he's just like whatever, And we would think, you know, with our genes between my husband and me, that our kids would be all over that, but they're not. So I didn't know if you found that to be the same way with both you and your husband working out.
Well, you know, it is. My son is the same way. He actually did play water polo for a while and was really good, but just didn't care. He played on the varsity at one of the best schools here in our area, and he played at the Junior Olympics, and then he just, I'm quitting. He just didn't care. So,
Maybe, you know, later in life, they might, you know, turn around and change their mind and stuff, or either that or they see their parents doing it all the time, and they're like, you know what, I think I want to do something different. Maybe they're burnt out from us. I don't know.
That's what I think it is. I think sometimes they want to just like assert their individualism or something. You know, it's like, I'm not going to do it because you do it.
I was going to ask you too. So you were saying that your husband works out. Now, has he ever competed himself?
He competed when he was younger. You know, kind of when he was in college and that kind of thing. So he gets it, which is really nice because it takes a lot of sacrifice and commitment and dedication. So to be with someone who really understands that and supports it and puts up with us, because we get irritable, we're hungry, and we're tired, and, you know, we can't always go do fun things, you know, when we're close to a show because, you know, we're having to stay so disciplined. He's very patient with that and very supportive. I'm blessed. I have a wonderful support from my family and friends and everybody. I don't know how anybody could do this otherwise.
Right. I would think that, you know, with as much stress there is, especially going to Miss Olympia of all things, how it can be very stressful mentally, not just physically.
I never in a million years thought I would qualify for Olympia. Honestly,
have you seen how gorgeous you are? The muscle tone and the complexion and it's just like, you know, you are very, your shape and figure, you're just wonderful. I think that, you know, you have a very good chance.
I appreciate it. You know, it was a dream, always a dream for me. And once I, you know, became a mom and went out and, you know, working in the corporate world and doing all that kind of thing, I kind of thought that dream was behind me. And, you know, at 38 years old, I was like, you know what, I'm just going to do a show. What the heck? Just for fun. I ended up winning it, and just I kept going and just loving it ever since then. And now I feel really blessed to be 42 years old, heading to Olympia for my second year in a row, and you know, being able to inspire so many women that, you know, it's never too late to whatever your goal is, you know, whatever it is you want to achieve, to be in the best shape of your life, or you know whether it's competing or whether it's just, you know, challenging yourself in whatever way that it makes sense. I've met some amazing people, and I've just been really, really blessed. So
I was going to say, I think that, you know, and that's a real inspiration as well. I'm in my early 40s as well, and I think it's a big inspiration because, you know, a lot of people at our age, you know, that people don't realize that 40 now is like the new 20. I mean, really.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and it is, like I said, it's never too late. Yeah, it is, because you're more mature.
Ooh.
You go into this with knowing, you know, life. And so you can handle things more. Like, you know, Kelly, she asked me, why didn't I do, you know, radio show before, or why didn't I do this before? And I love her for saying that, because she makes me feel so good about myself. But I think that if I had started earlier than I did now, I think I would have been eaten alive.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I mean, it's when I turned 30, I thought my life was over. Honestly, I thought, oh my God, I'm so old. Oh God, I remember that feeling. When I turned 40, I was like, this is awesome. It's like the best time ever. I feel healthier. I feel more alive. I feel like I understand who I am as a person a lot better. I'm able to connect with people on a level that I certainly couldn't have at 30 years old. And I agree. I mean, you know, at this point, to be able to achieve the things in your life and to be able to appreciate them a lot more is awesome. It's really amazing.
Yeah. Brian, did you have any questions you want to ask Jamie before our show ends?
I don't have a question, but I do. We have a caller that's been on hold for a while. I don't know if you want to go to a phone. Maybe I have a question for Jamie. Okay, caller, what I did was I opened up your mic and I forgot where you are. So anybody I have to say, I think it's 714. 714, are you there?
Brian, it's Donna Heise.
Donna! And she's another one that's an amazing figure.
And give you my support. And Brian, I love you.
I love you, Donna. Look at you, sexy lady. Come here, Donna. You and I will practice a love scene like Diane, like Arlene and Brian. You know what I mean, Donna? I love you, Donna.
So,
I really
enjoyed the interview. You and Arlene are great. I have to say, though, that I was upset by this Cole person, you know, telling me that it wasn't interesting. In front of your whole, I mean, I know you've got tons of viewers, or tons of listeners. So,
you know what you want.
That has nothing
to do
with
you. You know
what?
Don't worry about it, Donna, because people loved you. They loved you, and that's one person compared to thousands of people. So if I were you, I wouldn't even worry about it because everybody loved you. You were sweet and informative, and we loved having you, and we want to have you back, and they want to hear you too. Yeah, they want to hear what more you have going on. And you know what? And you want to talk about somebody else who's got an excellent shape. It would definitely be Donna Jane. She has got some legs on her, some muscles on those legs.
Well,
and,
I've been listening to the interview. I mean, what a wonderful interview, and good luck.
Before you leave, Donna, let me see. Cole, are you still on the line? Cole?
Yeah, and you know what, Donna,
okay,
thank you, Donna, for calling in, and you guys can resolve this off of the show.
I just said I sent her a message apologizing that it didn't come out right, and I just wanted to say
this
I'm sorry.
This is about Jamie right now, guys. Hey, this is about
Jamie. Okay. Well, I had a question for Jamie, if I could.
Sure.
I just wanted to know, you know, there's a lot of, I just want to know firsthand, you know, have you ever used any growth hormones or steroids? Have you seen any other athletes that have gotten hurt by them? And what's your message for all the athletes out there to stay away from that, from steroids?
No, I have not used any. As a matter of fact, in my feedback from the judges, a lot of times is they feel like I come in a little too muscular. So for me, if anything, I have to be careful to not become more muscular and just basically maintain what I have. As far as anyone else, I'm sure that there are people that do. If they do, they certainly don't go around advertising it. I don't know anybody personally that's been injured by them or anything else because I don't really even know who's doing it. You know, our world figure is quite a bit different than bodybuilding. It's, you know, because we're not looking to put on those massive amounts of muscle. It's really not part of our world like it is that world. And so, you know, it's, like I said, it's not something that we run across very often.
Okay, well, thanks. 2 minutes left. I gotta let Arlene know. That's how much time she has left for her segment.
Do we have another caller or are we good?
We're good, Kurt. You're good, kiddo.
Okay, thank you. Can you do me a favor? Because we do have a lot of listeners, and we don't get very many callers sometimes, but we have tons of listeners. And so I know there's a lot of people who would be interested in following you and learning more about you. Can you give us your contact information, like your website and so forth?
Sure, absolutely. The best way to reach me is really Facebook. Of course, I have also Twitter, which is at Jamie D. Bernard. My Facebook is, www.facebook.com/Jamie.D. Bernard. I also have my athletes page, which is Jamie D. Bernard Fit. And you can check out the radio show at www.femfital.com. And we'll be airing 2 to 4 today. Also, I own Anytime Fitness in Roseville. And
that was my next question.
Yeah, so you can find us at anytimefitness.com and just look up Roseville, and that's where we are. We have awesome personal trainers, and our mission is to help people get healthy and change their lives, and so we have a lot of fun there too.
Now, do you have other services there at Anytime Fitness? Like, are there massage therapists there? You could get personal trainers. swim pools. What kind of amenities do you have for everybody set up there?
Yeah, we have the best personal trainers. We really, really do. We have actually an automated massage bed, and we have a tanning bed. We have group classes, and the most fantastic equipment. We really did, you know, deck it out. Every single cardio machine has its own TV on it with the DirecTV, so, you know, people can plug in their earphones and watch whatever they want to watch while they're, you know, doing their cardio. And, you know, it's just laid out really beautifully. And the best part about it truly is the people. You know, everybody from the management to the trainers to everybody is just really helpful. And our members, you know, we just sort of have attracted a really amazing group of people that are, you know, supportive of each other and, you know, polite and, you know, clean off their machines and say hello. And, you know, I say it's like cheers for fit people.
Yeah, well, thank you very much for sharing all your information. And thank you so much for coming on the show today. I hope you can.
Yeah, thank you for having me. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, I hope you. I'm going to follow you on Miss Olympia, I'm telling you.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, it's been awesome to be on your radio show.
Thank you. I hope to have you back. And definitely, you know, with update to Miss Olympia.
Ladies and gentlemen, Unscripted. Arlene Barsinger, doing her thing, with her special guest today, Jamie E. Bernard, also on her show. Brian, what's his last name?
Dagger.
Dagger. Have any questions? Arlene, do you have a website? Do you have an email for people to get a hold of you? They like to be on the show.
Arlene Park.
One second, Arlene. And please say that one more time.
Well, I'm currently setting up ArleneUnscripted.com, and that's going to lead directly to our show here for both yours and mine. And also I've got ArleneBarsinger.com, which is still being set up. They can actually access that one, though. It is not completed. And they can reach me on Facebook. I'm the only Arlene Barsinger in the whole Facebook world, so it's kind of easy to find me as opposed to trying to find a bazillion John Does. And also, they can reach me at arlenebarsh@gmail.com.
Great, and we're setting up a website for you today, too. If they go on Actors Breakdown, there will be a direct link to the information of the Unscripted show starring Arlene Barsinger with Entertainment News. And now we are on Archives, which is a bonus attraction. So if anybody, and I'm sure a lot of people, I looked at the Archives, and they're loading it down like crazy. They're going to be listening to the Archives, and we are being recorded. So whatever you say, hold on. You have somebody on 707. I don't know if this is going to work since we're on Archives. Let's see if it does. 707, are you there? Hello? 707 area code? Okay. Arlene, are you still here? Arlene, are you here? Hello?
Yeah.
Is your 639, that's yours?
Yes, I'm 639.
Okay. All right. It's just you and I. Cole hung up. Wayne's gone. It's just you and I.
All right. So we can brainstorm in the archive.
Just me and you. Good show, Arlene.
You too. You picked a really heated subject, I think, at the very beginning there. And I think we probably could have done a whole two-hour segment on it.
We probably could, and it's something that's going on right now. I like stuff that's going on.
Mm-hmm. So what inspired you to pick that topic? It's just because it's the latest news, or was it something that touched you personally?
Well, it's headline news. I mean, their ambassador did get killed. They did get killed by a guy who self-proclaimed he's an Arab Israeli Jew from Orange County, which sparked that the Libyan thing. Went crazy. Now,
wow.
I mean, I could have gone deeper. Do you hold this guy responsible? or do you hold this? And the interesting question was, it was very interesting when I got 3 out of 4. When I asked, was more offensive, burning the American flag or burning the Bible? 3 out of 4 said the flag.
Yeah.
That tells you about religion in our country.
Mm-hmm.
And
well,
so,
and I think it's because they feel like it's a direct attack towards them as opposed to somebody who's a figure person, you know, because we are Americans, they're thinking it as a personal attack, whereas the Bible, they don't see it as a personal attack. So I think that could be why.
Well, you're attacking their faith. And
so
Bible is our faith. It's a Christianity faith. So I put it head to head. If our faith was attacked, would you perform the same outrage? And then Wayne said something very interesting. None of that would matter, but it wouldn't matter if they had Obama's head cut off like a stage day. Would that set outrage? And people go, yes, that's more outrageous than attacking our Bible.
Yeah.
So it just shows you the faith. And if you notice, and I'll go back to Republicans, and I wanted to promote the gentleman who's coming on tomorrow, and I'm going to promote it like crazy. And I want to thank you. I don't know why you didn't bring him on your show, because he's a great guest. You could have done a great job with him.
He wasn't available at the time, and he was actually brought on by Brian Jagger. It happens to be a friend of his, so you know, it's going to be a really good show, and he's going to have a lot to say, I'm sure. I think that he's going to be somebody really good to talk to, and somebody you can talk to about, you know, what just happened and how the political realm is reacting to it.
Well, it was very interesting, because if you noticed, and maybe it's just me, the last 8 years, the Republicans have not ran on family values. They used to run on family values all the time. That was the main thing. I mean, they still stand for family. You hear it. But it's not, they just put, and this is when Clinton, of course, this is when Clinton did his thing with Monica Lewinsky. All of a sudden, it's, you know, Republicans ran on family values. But since the Republicans got caught, there's a lot of Republicans got caught with the stalls and the bathrooms and a lot of scandals and everything. And you can bring up John Edwards, if you like. But I noticed that the Republican Party are not really putting family values at the forefront anymore. And this
I think because the family element in America has changed. It's not like the Leave It to Beaver anymore. People, you know, instead of sitting at the table enjoying dinner together, they have phones in their hands or video games in their hands at the dinner tables instead of setting them down or turning off the TV and just having a family, good old family conversation. People don't even if they did sit down at the, you know, have games or eating, sometimes, you know, you'll have families that one will sit in one room and eat, the other one will take their plate and go to another room, and they're all watching different things and doing, you know, you don't have that in America anymore. It's just gone downhill.
Well, see, this is where the Republicans are in trouble. They shot themselves in the foot. They don't have a platform anymore. Social issues, they're kind of out of date. They're kind of out of date regarding gay marriages, adoption. Let's go with immigration. They're way on the other side with immigration. They don't have a platform anymore. Their platform was family values. Their platform was religion. Bring God into it. And since they took out family values, they're not good on the social issues. They're not good on the economy. They're running a more economy now. I think that replaced family values. Do you agree?
Yeah.
But do they have a platform anymore? Because the gap is really shrinky now. Social issues, they're having problems with women. Family, they're having problems with that now, too. They're kind of shying away, but they put the elements in there because the Democrats say we have families, too. The economy, they're right there. That's their lead because of what happened with Obama in the last 4 years. I understand that. And since you got a businessman running for president, I understand that's their strong point. But do you agree in the last 8 years that we have not seen Kane run? Or I'm saying Kane, right? God, I'm so tired. Kane? Is it Kane? McCain,
yeah.
Thank you,
McCain.
Thank you. McCain, McCain did not run on family values.
Mm-hmm.
He did not do that. Sarah Palin tried, because she tried to bring back the Reaganomics, the Reagan years, the Reagan family values, this and this. She tried, but what her family screwed up about her daughter not even finishing high school and getting pregnant, she couldn't go there either. they shot themselves in the head. They had no platform to really run, and I think that's why they lost last year or last election. This year, do you find a platform that they're running on?
No, I mean, you know what? I don't, like I said, I think that there's just badness on both sides, and both of them, you know, to me, you're right. They have changed. Everything's changed. So whatever they're doing now isn't working, and they need to address, you know, the people as they are now. But for the most part, I don't claim either side, but if I look at some of the values that they did have, it definitely coincides with a lot of my personality and what I believe in. So,
but your personality coincides with the Reagan years, family value.
Right.
God in the family.
Oh, yeah,
America,
I love Reagan. I love Reagan very much. Mm-hmm.
Right, keep America strong.
Mm-hmm.
But I understand that, and I hate when Obama brings up the Lincoln. Oh, Lincoln, shut up. We're talking about 1800s. Well, Lincoln, you were a slave. Shut the hell up. But you run on that. But now, since then, since McCain and before McCain was Bush, I think Bush ran on family values a little bit. He did bring in family values, but he made a lot of dumb mistakes.
Here's where I find a problem with the Democratic Party and stuff. It's like I feel that some of their ideas is keep the poor people poor and living off of the system. And that way the people who are powers that be stay that way. And the reason why I say that is if you look back in the history books, I was in a conversation with this gentleman. I hardly knew him, but he was a history major. And so anyway, he was wanting to teach history as well, so he was going for his education to become an instructor at a college or university in history. And he loved politics. And one of the things that he and I got, and I didn't know this until I was speaking with him, but I learned from him that the Democrats back in the day during slavery were the ones who wanted to keep slavery, and it was the Republicans who wanted to free the slaves so that they could own land and they could be free. And it was the Democrats that wanted to keep them down. And so I find it very interesting that most African Americans are Democrats with that kind of a history of the Democratic Party.
Okay, that's a valid point when you brought about slavery, but then here's what happened with slavery. Lincoln says, you guys are free. They freed the slaves. So the slaves are saying, yay, we're free. Now what? We don't have a job. We can't get any jobs. You guys are hiring. You guys are not going to hire us. We have no homes. We have nothing. We're free for what? And a lot of the slaves went back to the slave owners.
But on a free basis. So even though they went back freely, you know, they didn't have to. They could have found some other way, you know. But in any case, they were free. They were granted the freedom, so they weren't, you know, able to keep them down. Even if they went back to them, now they had the right to get paid. They had the right to, you know, they had some sort of rights. But like if you look at the system, the way that the Democratic Party set up is that, you know, yeah, we're going to help the poor people. We're going to do this. We're going to give, you know, it basically give them handouts. So that way they don't have to work as hard to make it, and then they stay undereducated. They don't, you know, it's like, because unfortunately, let's just face it, if we had the opportunity to be lazy, many people would. I mean, why work harder if we don't have to work harder? So when you're just handing things to people, they don't work as hard. You know, I don't have to work as hard to be, you know, get an education to better my life because, you know, I can live just fine as is off the system.
Good point. That's a very good point, Arlie. And going back to, and Donna, I know hopefully you'll listen to the archives. Reason I even brought Colvin, because he wanted a chance to say he apologized, and I'm thinking that would make you feel better. The archives was when he said it, I think. And
yeah, it was when he said it, but Donna heard the archives, and she and I have been communicating about it behind closed doors. And because of what I know and what I've been told, it was not a good time to do that. It was better for him, you know, to do it at another point. And I know for a fact that she had nothing to say to him and didn't even want to hear him on the show. She was just calling in to support me. So that's why I was kind of stopping it. I'm like, whoa, stop, no, Cole, you need to do it at another time because right now is not a good time. And the show was about Jamie. So if he wanted to do it, you know, I knew there might would have been an issue and that it would have taken away from her, and that's why I stopped it. So I knew you had a good intentions, because I know you. You have good intentions. But because I know what happened between me and her behind closed doors, I knew it wasn't good timing.
Well, I'm trying to remember, and during our archives, when he said that, I'm trying to remember my response, but my response, all I could think of was when I said I think she had great hold. Yeah, I think if anything was my problem with the transition, but I'm a horror fan, and I love her on Chyna White's fan, and I looked at her interviews, and she is an intelligent lady, and she has a great sense of humor, and I know that she's married and everything, and I want to support her, and I hope this show doesn't slander her. I don't want her to feel bad because of what somebody said on the show, but... I just wanted to know that somebody—that's one person's opinion. And Cole is not part of the Brian the Hammer Network. Cole will come on and hang out with us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I think that because he's here so often, people are thinking he is now. They see him as part of the show because he's here pretty much every day, and he hangs out, and he's talking a lot. So people think that he is part of the network.
Well, he's a friend of the show, but he's not part of the network.
Yeah.
The only one who's actually part of the network is you. Here's the network. Me, you.
Right.
Wayne will co-host, and I love Wayne to death. When he has time, and I say that, he'll come in, and when he does, I love it when he's on the show. I have not suggested to be part of the network because I won't do this. A man runs his own business. He comes on when he can, and he's more than welcome. Same thing as Chris. Comes on when he can. I love Chris's wit and everything. Come on anytime he can. He's a friend of the show. But as far as the network is concerned, and I will make that clear because I'm going to put it up on the website as soon as we hang up, the network consists of you, me, and may consist of somebody else. If Wayne says, hey, you know, I do have time, on Fridays or what it's musical Fridays or whatever, I will feature him as part of the network. Cole is a friend of the show. I get mad at Cole 95% of the time, and he tried to be better. But I'm not going to. It's not my job to change Cole. My job is to keep a good format for our show, and he has to learn how to behave.
Well, Johnny Rock is going to be with me on Thursdays.
Is he co-hosting or coming on as a guest?
No, he's co-hosting with me on Thursdays. I figured that I'd have a co-host one or two days a week and just kind of all, you know, have him every Thursday, you know, because he has a really big following and he's a funny guy, let's face it. And so, you know, I decided that it would be good for us with his following and his sense of humor and his deep, deep voice like you have to have him come along. And so just on right now, the only person I have on Thursdays for a co-host, and I asked him if he'd be a regular just on Thursday so his friends can count on him always being there on Thursday. And he's like, yeah, he's like, he would help me out with that. And then on days that I am sick or I'm out of town covering a story or whatever else, he said that he would cover for me.
Sounds great. And I think you're going to offend Chris, but Chris loves you to death. You and I are...
Well, I talked to Chris about it first, at first too, because... but with Chris, he's got so many jobs going on that he can't really commit. Like, he can call in here and there and see how we're doing and stuff. And, you know, he might have a day where he's free and he can stay the whole time. But there's no guarantee with him because he's got to, when they're calling him and they're paying him to be there, he's got to be there. So I can't totally count on him because of that.
Okay, what we're going to do right now is, like I said, Kelly knows this, that I'm getting exhausted and everything. I might almost have you take over one of my shows that goes through the whole 2 hours. I think you could carry it very well, just in case I fall sick or need a break. I think you carry it very well. We're going to start now concentrating on getting you sponsors now. We established you had 2 shows out of your belt now. You had some great guests. And we have another guest that's coming on tomorrow. I think he just confirmed. Kelly just said he filled out the form. I don't know much about him. You said he's Jamie's friend or somebody's friend. that you know? I'm talking about the Republican fifth.
He actually works. He works in Sacramento, and he works with Brian. Brian is actually involved in the political realm himself, actually, in Sacramento. So The Lobbyist is probably a really good show for him because he knows a lot about politics. And so he is a friend of his, and he's been around for quite some time. He's a public figure. I'm just trying to remember the last time. But, yeah, Brian filled, you know, he and Brian filled out the form, and he's ready to go for you. So, you know, if you want a really good Republican to come on to speak, and you can talk to him about what we just talked about how they're losing their ideals because, you know, the household has changed. You know, it's a really great topic.
Well, I think it's not so much they're losing their ideas. They still have their ideals, but they have no platform. And they're shooting themselves in the head. They have no platform to stand on. And it's not a slam, but it's true, because if I could ask you straight out, what does the Republican Party stand for now? The world has changed, has shifted so much that they may be so outdated in their views and strongholds. And I think the Tea Party is really hurting the Republican Party. I really think it's an albatross around the Republican Party's neck. And because they're so far to the right. And like the Democrats, same thing. They used to be conservative Democrats, and Reagan was catering to the conservative Democrats, and they loved Reagan. As well as you had liberal, I asked the same question. You had liberal Republicans. We took out those people now. It's so far to the left, so far to the right, that it's ridiculous. But at least the Democrats have a platform that they run on. They cannot run on the economy. I agree with that. But they changed it to, they switched it to the social issues, which is going into gay marriage and everything, and immigration, which is going to kill the Republicans. Because the Republicans cannot stand on immigration. They cannot. Especially with that fool in Arizona who's willing to take out his six guns and shoot any Mexican that climbs the fence.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying that's what I think was wrong with the Republican Party, is that, you know, they had their views when Reagan's years and before Reagan's years, they had their platform. This is our platform.
Yeah.
This is solid. Now it's like they're lost. We don't know where we go. Okay. We don't really want abortion, but let's pull back a little bit, saying women have the right to choose. But we don't want to go really too back for the right to choose because we were conservative. It's they're finding their way again. And I think what's going to happen is Romney is going to be a casualty of finding our way, because they're going to eventually find their way. The Republicans are going to find their way, and they're going to come back strong, and they're going to come back really solid. But I think McCain and this Palin fiasco really, really made a laughingstock of a very strong, proud party, taking them back. And I think Rush Limbaugh is not helping the situation when he talks about the regime and he's talking about this and this big fat
piece of
shit.
I don't think he helps anything other than piss people off.
And that's what I'm saying. He has, and it's not so much the Republicans and the Democrats. There are a lot, just like you, there are a lot of independents out there. And there's people in both parties, Republicans and Democrats, are saying, I just don't know. I'm a Republican, but I'm not going to vote for Obama. And Rush Limbaugh is just going at it. And I listen to this guy. And these Republicans give him too much power. And he's actually telling the Republicans how to run their campaign. But they're listening to this guy. And I think Steele, who is a black Republican leading the Republican Party, fucked up.
Yeah.
Steele was an embarrassment. I mean, Steele had a chance to say, you know what, I'm a black Republican, and we're going to go by this. What did Steele do? He didn't know what he was saying.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, if Colin Powell ran, I would be the first one to switch parties. I would be the first one, and not because he's black, it's because he's been in the inside.
No,
he's been in the war room.
Let me tell you, he's a great guy. I think he would have a lot of people backing him if he did.
He has a great sense of humor. He's witty. He's intelligent. He's the colonel, for God's sake. He knows about war. He's been in the war room. This is what they needed.
He's probably more real than anybody else they've ever had running.
Exactly. I would even go with Laser. Said Dole.
Yeah.
Even I forgot her name. What did I want to say? Michelle. What's it?
Arlene Bonsinger. Sure, I'll vote for president.
I mean, she would be a better choice than Romney.
Yeah.
I would have voted for Dole. So, but I think and then the Republicans are so scared. No, not another woman. No, let's forget it. Let's forget. And keeping Sarah Palin in the news is an embarrassment for the Republican Party. Why would you do that? But anyway, and Michelle Bachmann. Oh my God! Come on. I'm gonna ask these Michelle Bachmann. You mean to tell me in our great country of maybe three, you know, well, it's 400 million Americans, I don't know. Michelle Bachmann? Is this the best you can, and not to mention the pizza dude. What is his name, Kane? What the hell?
Yeah.
Out of all the people in the Senate and the government, we got a pizza dude running. And
hey, at least he's real.
He wasn't.
He
was an embarrassment. Remember the fiasco about his wife? Well, you know, I have a friend for a couple. You know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of that guy who was going for Supreme Court justice with the pubic hair and a Coke. It reminded me of that scandal with Kane, with all these other women on his side and trying to lie. And he said, then he has the nerve to say, well, if my wife wants me to run, I'll run. What kind of leader do we need? What are you talking about?
Mm-hmm.
If your wife wants you to run, you'll run. And see, this is what I'm trying to say. This is the demise of your Republican pool here. Look at it. Look at the pool. Just look at it from a point of view. You got Kane, Ron Paul, who believe that aliens are going to come and snatch us from the sky and do experimental stuff on us.
Well, who says they won't? Who says it couldn't happen? I'm just kidding. Seriously.
But look at that pool, though. And I mean, just name all those people who are running. You had Michelle Bachmann. You had Ron Paul. You had Kane, and the other guy who was just a clusterfuck. And he was a front runner for a while. He was a good-looking guy, but he was just hammering and stammering all the time. He couldn't debate. And these guys are a bunch of losers.
Yeah.
And you got to admit, if you look back on who was running and who was doing the debating, it looked like something, it looked like a cast on Saturday Night Light Live. I'm sorry,
yeah.
We're going in there, and you're not even interested in this, but...
I find it very interesting, actually. I am interested in it and stuff, and I'm listening to what you're having to say, and a lot of the things that you say are right. And I'm going to change the subject on you, by the way. I listened to the archives for a cold show.
You got to stop listening to archives. Really, seriously,
well,
I never listened.
You know what? It was very difficult for me to listen to because it made me appreciate who you are even more. I already appreciated who you are.
Well,
but it appreciated me. Show me the strength that you have to come from the stuff that you came from to what you are today.
I appreciate it.
So I think it was so important for people to hear it because you're so up and coming and, you know, your show's taken off and stuff like that. And I think that it helps people to understand who you are. Like when they did the show for Howard Stern, I cannot stand Howard Stern. He drives me up the wall. But do you know what? I watched that movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, wow. You know, that's, you know, for, you know, his life. And, you know, he started in himself and stuff like that. I thought it was very interesting to see, you know, him from the beginning, who, you know, not from littleness, but you know what I'm saying. So,
right.
But for me, it was kind of the same surreal thing to see your background and to, you know, it's hard for me to believe, like, you know, I had a pretty good, despite the two attempted molestations, that it was an attempt, they did not succeed, and I was very fortunate.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, my life was pretty goody-two-shoes, really, if I think about it, even with my father being in the military and stuff, so, and moving around constantly, and you know, and I had, you know, a bad experience in junior high school, a very bad one. And so, you know, but I think, and I look at, you know, something that you went through and the adversity and the hardships and the background of your stepmom. You know what? I had a friend of mine, her mother, she was given up for adoption, and I found that her mother gave birth to her at 9 years old.
Wow.
Yeah, because her step-grandfather raped her.
Yeah.
And it kills me because, you know what, I'll tell you what, if I ever knew that, I don't care how old the man was, I don't care if he was 90 years old, I would go over there and I would cut off his extremities, I really would, because I don't care if, you know, because my daughter is about ready to turn 9 in less than a week, and I just can't picture somebody doing that type of stuff to her, I would kill him. And same thing with your stepmom. So I'm just like, so listening to that, you know, it made me really appreciate you even more than for who you are.
Well, thank you, sweetheart. Thank you very much. It's like, I don't like to talk about myself. I gave it to Cole, and Cole didn't know what to do with it. And it was just me, but it could have been anybody. It could have been my guest. It's like funny. After it was done, I said, you know, I gave him a gift. It was his show, whatever people like me. I'll tell him about me because I don't talk about me. And when he started doing the impressions of the actors and went off on his other thing and the impressions, and I'm saying, one minute I'm talking about molestation, the next minute I'm hearing something about Natalie Wood being fucked on a boat.
I wanted to ask, if I was on the show, I would have asked you, so I'm going to ask you now, because, you know, people can listen to this. I know people have heard it because, you know, people heard you were going to be on there. How did you cope with that? You cope with you know, at 10, you were telling me, you know, what had happened with the girls, and I don't know how good your stepmother was to you, because, you know, I'll tell you what, I had a really great stepmother before, but I've had a really bad one. So, you know, it's like, what was your coping mechanism for dealing with all the adversity that you had?
Well, at 10 was almost, 10, I hate to say this, and then when I say this, people are going to go, ah. At 10, I had somewhat of control. Because it was my best friend Johnny and his mother. And I knew, I was smart enough to know that she wanted me.
Mm-hmm.
And I was smart enough to know that she not only wanted, needed. I didn't understand, but then I needed some things too, you know. When I went over, she had the best food. What a 10-year-old would do. It wasn't a social thing like, this is wrong, this is rape, this is this, why I'm going to tell my dad and everything. To me, you know, she was instructing, and this is where Cole missed, but she instructed what I should do.
Mm-hmm.
And it was more like an instruction thing.
So it wasn't mentally disturbing for you.
Was it mentally disturbing at that age? No. Because, you know it was wrong. I knew it was wrong. But I also knew that it also brought me power. I don't know if that's going to make sense.
It does.
Because first of all, I had my best friend Johnny, and he was my best friend. And then when we went to bed, she would, you know, summon me to her, and she would. I mean, it wasn't anything. I didn't think it as abusive because, like, treated me with kid gloves.
Mm-hmm.
And what's more interesting, interesting interview you just did. It's very interesting. What she did was, she was 8. She made it to believe like I was the man and I was controlling everything, even though I was only 10.
Yeah.
So it was like, hi, would you like, you know, she went down to what a 10-year-old level would be. Would you like to play with some trucks? And would you like, you know, that kind of thing? Would you like to run your trucks over here? It was almost like a teaching kind of weird thing.
Yeah.
I don't expect anybody to understand it, but it wasn't in a way like do this or I'm going to call this or do this or you're going to. I wasn't threatened. So it was almost like playing house at that time. And the reason I broke it off is because I just said, you know what, no more. I was not interested in it. She was, and it's like, no. I'm getting to be 11. I'm getting to be 12. I'm getting to go through puberty. I know what's going on now, and this is what you want. I was not interested in it.
Mm-hmm.
But what's more devastating, I would have to say, is that six. Now, here's where the abuse came in. That was like at 16, 16 was 15 to 18 was very hard, and that's when my stepmother left. And my father became an alcoholic, and he used to go to the bars and pick up these women, and they would wait in the middle of the night, and then the door will open, and these women were aggressive and violent. Now, these women, now I'm going to say it, and it doesn't mean it, but I'm going to say it, I think, and they still had a connotation, these women were white women. And they had a connotation, if you go with a black man, you're a certain type of woman. So I don't think they took me, and I'll be honest with you, I don't think they took me as a human being. I think they took me as a novelty, as my father, I'd never been with a black man, you know, that kind of thing?
Yeah.
So I think when they had, this is a novelty, you know, I never did this, and always fantasized about being with a black guy. And so then you have the son there, they're already dehumanizing you as a person, and because they dehumanize that other person with it. It's a novelty, they never did this before, and this is going to be weird, this is strange. And now, remember, they're drunk.
Mm-hmm.
So then they figure, well, he's an animal. Let's just really, you know. So they would come, so the scene would be, you know, I had three brothers, and I had a sister at the time. And my sister would run from her room because she would hear the door open. She would run to her room, and she would come into our room, and we had, like, bunk beds. And she would shut the door. And my sister was, like, I don't know, I was 16, so she was, like, 13, 15, whatever. And she would say, they're coming, they're coming. And then she would, I go, who's coming? And then she would run up on the bunk and hide under the covers. And my brothers used to wake up, and I would tell them, turn your head, you didn't hear nothing. And then the door will come open. And the first thing my bed was towards the door. First thing they would do is jump. I'm talking literally jump. And they would jump on you, and they would cover your mouth.
Wow.
And because you could, they don't, you know, my dad's in the other room, and they would cover your mouth, and my brothers and my sisters are there, and they would, you know, hide under the covers, and then they would just rip your underwear off, and they would spread their legs, and they would just, and more they do it. One person smothered me almost. I couldn't even breathe because my mouth was taped so much and over my nose. I had to be 13, 14, whatever. And this would be a constant thing. When I say constant thing, it would be different women. Mm-hmm. So it's not that the same person did it all the time, and then, of course, he would date them again, and he found out he's dating them because they can get to me, and I would go on to a part, and then they would leave. And my sister would be crying, and my brothers would be crying, and everything like this. And I just had to be strong for them. I go, you know, so one time, and here's where it stopped, this went on for, like, I would say 3 or 4 months, and I was more afraid. And they would say the same thing over. If you make a noise, your dad's going to wake up, and I'm going to tell him you're raping me. And I was afraid of my father. I was scared to death of my father.
Well, the sad part is that you got kicked out anyway, huh?
Well, not until 4 years later.
Mm.
But this went on for 4 years until I did.
Wow.
So I was just telling them, they said if you say anything, I would tell them that you did it. And my dad's the kind of person that would say, I did it. So I let him. And then I got to a point. You want to know how I got to a point? I got to a point where you know, this is where you find God, and after it's done, you talk to God and go, God, you know, you, and it's like, why you do this? Why, you know, this and this and this? You're asking questions, and I got mad at God because it kept on going on.
Well, my question is what happened to your real mom?
Well, what happened was that when my father was cheating, and he came home one day with this woman, and he kicked my real mom out of the house, and they got a divorce. And so she was trying to make a living in Los Angeles as a school teacher. So she had her own apartment, trying to get herself situated. She was trying to find her way. She was staying with roommates, so she got her apartment, you know, just getting herself away. She was blindsided. She had no idea this was going on. The guy just came home one day with a woman and says, hey, this is my new wife. Get the hell out.
That sounds familiar, actually, but go ahead.
And so she, you know, she had to stay with friends and all this stuff. She, and I knew that she was just trying. We saw her every other weekend. Did I say anything? No, because I saw that she was trying to just stay alive, you know.
So now, is she still alive now?
Yeah.
And yeah. How's your relationship with her?
Well, and that's another sad story. I don't want to. My relationship.
Yeah.
I was like the favorite of my mom, and I was always taking care of her. So what's happening with my mom right now is that she had 4 brain surgeries.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they said there was some kind of, I don't know if it was cancer or whatever, but they went in and she had 4 brain operations. And I think they screwed up. So then she, just this year, she went blind.
Mm.
And the hard part of it is that she doesn't recognize me anymore. She'll recognize my sister. My sister will talk to her, and then she goes, "You got to talk to her." And I go, and, you know, I say, Mom, and she doesn't know who I am.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the worst pain ever. And so
yeah.
She's hanging in there. And, you know, on her last day, I wanted, you know, the saddest thing was before she was slipping where she didn't remember who we were, she remembered my brothers. But she couldn't remember me because I couldn't visit her a lot. I didn't visit her a lot. So that's
what happened with my girlfriend. Her mother had dementia, and she was very painful.
Well, this was the cause from the brain surgery, though. She doesn't have dementia. There's just something a part of the brain surgery that with the memory. But the final result, how I resolved this, and I resolved this at 15 and 16, I got tired of these women coming in and raping me. And I gave up on God. And I said, okay. And so the worst result is he brought home this woman again, sloppy drunk. Boom, same thing. Kid runs in. They're coming. This one came in. And I gave up on God, and I became suicidal.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I got through it, is because I figured my father was going to kill me, but I'd rather be dead than go through this again. So this woman came on, and she did the same thing, and they do the same thing. I don't know why they do the same thing. Jumped on. I don't know if they talked to each other or whatever. Cover your mouth, threaten you, and they actually did. If you say anything, you make a word, I'm going to tell your father. And they will, and you know.
You know what I find really interesting? I find this really interesting because there are pedophiles like crazy in prison, and they're all men.
No, there's a lot of stories I can tell you about my brother's teacher and all this stuff. But yeah, it's hard for a kid. See, here's the thing. Here's the secret thing. I don't want to jump back and forth, but bottom line of the story is when she came in, this time it was different. She jumped. She did that. I turned her over. And I said, uh-uh. I put my hand on her mouth. I said, this is not going to happen. You hear me? This is not going to happen. You're going to get your ass out of here. And this time, if you even mention anything, I'm going to call the cops. And her eyes got really big and everything. I go, you get your ass. And in fact, let me have your phone number. This is true. Got her phone number. I go, okay, you got 5 seconds to get out of the house before I call the cops. And she ran out of the house. And I called her the next day. You know what? I need a ride from school. What do you mean you need to? You got to go to work. I'll fucking call the cops. Okay, great. Give me a ride now. She's basically, I made her my slave. I had so much anger.
Yeah.
I needed lunch money. Nope. 25 will do. So I started. So it was that I took it back. I took everything back.
Mm-hmm.
Everything. And when that door, and my sister ran in when it was the next one, I was right by the door going, you got a problem? No. Get your ass back in there or get the hell out of the house. And it was more of that kind of authority. And I became bigger and I got to lift weights. I became in football. I became my own person. There was nobody else. And then I took care of the kids. I said, you guys are getting to school, you're going to brush your teeth, you're not sick, you get your ass in school. And they went to school, and they thanked me later when they went to university. Even my dad thanked me 20 years later. He goes, I want to thank you for making the kids go to school in there. Because my dad said, nobody's going to school ever again. You guys don't need school. And I said, no, they need school. So that kind of thing. He gave up. So that's it.
Yeah, it's like, you know, it's that is really tough. That is really, really tough. And so to be where you are today, you know, you should be proud.
Yeah, I'm all right. But what pissed me, well, thank you so much, though. I'll take the compliment. But what pisses me off, if one thing that does piss me off is victims.
Yeah.
When I hear that when a guy was molested at 8 and all of a sudden he's 45 and he finally tells that he's been molested by a priest and you wait till you're 45 years old, pisses me off.
Yeah.
All that tells me is that the priest forgot about you and you're trying to get things from him. He wouldn't accept your calls, so all of a sudden you're going to come out with allegations. It pisses me off that they wait so long. Then it pisses me off when they play victim. When people play victim, that just drives a knife through my heart when they do that. And when I hear this stupid thing on the web about bullying and the government started making a new, you have to go to school for bullying, and then we got to make a bully law? You got to be
kidding me. I was a bully for a while there. And let me tell you something. When I did that, it was, I'd say it was a defense mechanism.
But yeah, it's like, I understand, but that's part of growing up, and that's part of mixing with people. That's part, half the people, 3/4 of the people were bullied in school or was a bully in school. That's called being in a society of 400 kids in one school.
Yeah, but when it gets to the point where kids are taking their lives because of it, something's got to give, because the bullying that I did when I was a kid is not the same bullying as they do now.
Bullshit, same bullying. The people who are taking their lives are because there's other stuff going on. I do not believe that.
Yeah, I don't think that. I mean, because now there's cyberbullying. There's, other bullying from all around, you know. I don't know. I just don't think that, you know, because what basically did with me was, I became a bully because I was, in a way, bullied. And I just said that, you know what, this is. And I allowed, it was my fault because I allowed this person to bully me. And I was like, you know, this is a bunch of bull crap. I'm not doing this anymore. I'm not going to let people bully me around. And then I became the bully.
Yeah. Yeah. It goes like that. And then until you wised up and somebody stood up to you saying this is not right. But going back to you're saying bullying take the kid's life, there's more to that. If you look through what really happened in history, that every kid who took their life because of bullying, first of all, I'm not saying every kid. I'm saying the one that I saw, first of all, they were gay. They had other issues going on, too. And I'm not saying all of them were gay. And second of all, what really made me sick was that woman on a bus, and she was being bullied by third graders. And people started feeling so sorry for her, gave her so much money, she took a vacation and retired. I'm saying, if you take your life, good. I hope you do. Take your life. Get out of here because you're weak and all you're going to do is be an atrocity or somebody else's life. Good. I'm a big fan of people who commit suicide and actually get it done. I hate the people who commit suicide and they live and they hurt other people. Get rid of thin the hurt. I'm a big fan of that. You want to cry? Get the hell out of town because you can't have it because I'm going to tell you something. Life is tough and nobody's going to be holding your hand. Life is going to be tough when you're on that job and you have to work 17 hours and you want to get home to your tent. And you want to cry there. Those little kids who don't take their life are the ones who come back, get pissed off and shoot up the place and kill innocent people because they claim, I was bullied. I'm tired of it, so I'm going to shoot people. No, good. Jump off a bridge. I have no...
It's an excuse to take other people's lives. They just... You know, like Columbine shootings and whatever else.
Sure, those kids were bullied. You don't see people who bully people take people's lives. People who bully people become police officers and sergeants in the Army. I'm being sarcastic, but it's true. If you look at the bully, the people who have been bullied, they're the ones who bring them the guns and start shooting people up and shooting up offices and everything. They lose a job. They can't handle it. Boom, I'm going to come back and I'm going to shoot everybody. Everybody must have a trophy if you play sports. Everybody's a winner. There's no such thing as losers. This is the society that we're building. That little kids can go play a game. Even if you come in last place, you get a trophy, like a first-place trophy. What the hell is this?
Yeah.
We're building a society full of pussies, and it's destroying us. Everybody has to be coddled. Somebody on Facebook, somebody had a bad day in class and they said her hair was funny looking. Let's all get behind her and say that she's beautiful. Screw that. She is funny looking. Get another haircut. Why do we always, if you protect the weak never gets strong. And as long as the weak doesn't get strong, they are an albatross, and they will, and they'll find themselves, because you're not going to be there to protect them all the time. What you're doing is hurting their coping mechanism. They need to build that up like an immune system. They have to go through this. They got to get tough, because the world is not going to protect you. And that little kid who's been bullied tried to marry somebody and everything, and he doesn't like the way his family is. He has no coping mechanism whatsoever, and he kills his family and takes his life too, because we're suicidal and the world's coming around us, and we can't cope with it. Because that kid did not build up an immune system of a coping mechanism, because school is a coping mechanism of you being around other people with different races and different ways of thinking, and you need to cope. You're bullied? Fine. Take a karate class. You're bullied? Fine. Get into a group where you can have your peers and feel good about yourself. But if you don't feel good about yourself and you walk down because daddy's an alcoholic, mama's a whore, your kid's running around, your sister's on drugs and she's at school whore and everybody's calling you an idiot, fine. Don't cry and everything. My mom's an alcoholic. My sister's a whore. Fuck you. Coping mechanism. You deal with it. Because life, that's the beginning of life. Because life is not going to give you a pass. It's not. And it's freaking cruel. Life is cruel. Your boss is cruel. The people around you are cruel. The people you drive by and he honks the horn at you and gives you a finger is cruel. But your coping mechanism when you were a kid keeps you from blowing that guy's brain out, because you know what's good and bad and you can cope with it, meaning that it doesn't care. I don't care. It's okay. The guy's a jerk. You go on with your life. That's a coping mechanism you built up and you learn to build up in life. But this cuddling, this weak crap, somebody's being bullied and we got to protect them. We got to get along. We got to protect the people and the gay people, the poor gay people. They can't come out. Screw you.
Mm.
If you're gay and you want to come out of the closet, you're not a freaking hero. You're not a freaking hero. I'm gay. I'm out of the closet. Yay, you're a hero. You're a leader. What the hell is that? Stop it. I'm gay. I'm going to come out because I'm going to make a statement. Who gives a rat's ass?
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm a hero? Shut up. I'm still in the closet. Yeah. I'm afraid of being gay. Good. Kill yourself while you're in the closet. Give us some time.
Yeah.
I just feel, I don't want anybody hurting me because I'm gay. Then don't be gay. Quit swishing around and everything. Keep it your private life like it should be private. If you can't handle being gay.
A lot of them are pretty tough, actually. They take their choice with the beating, and they just roll with it and go. And
exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And you did it, too. You took it with a beating, and you went through it. You were punished sometimes. I'm not talking abusive and everything. When you were a bad girl, I'm sure you were punished with time out, or maybe you got spanked. I don't know what happened, but you got punished.
Mm-hmm.
And your mother and your brothers and sisters didn't run to you going, oh, my God, Dad yelled at you. Come on, let's hold her tight, everybody. Let's protect her. She's crying.
Are you kidding? My sister probably laughed.
Right.
You got in trouble. Yay. Yeah.
Exactly. Get your butt up, Dad. You did a bad thing. Did you do a bad thing, Arlene? Yes, I did. Okay. You know why you got punished? Yes, I do. Are you going to do it again? Probably, but not try to get caught. Okay. Go out and play.
Yeah.
Versus, we all must sing Kumbaya and protect the weak.
Yeah, things are getting, and that's kind of like what you were talking about, I think, with football, with Norm yesterday, and then, you know, it's same thing with West Point. My husband's like, and even in the Marines, you know, everything's like, you know, you can't do this now to them, and you can't do that, and you can't curse at them, and you can't yell at them, and you can't do any of these things to them, and stuff like that. So, you know, it's one of those things where the society's getting weaker and weaker, and we're getting fatter, and we're getting less healthy, and you know, we're really going down the tubes as society in general.
In a handbasket. Pretty soon, I'm waiting for somebody to sue the drill sergeant for yelling at him and feeling bad about himself and calling it abuse.
Yeah.
my drill sergeant said racist things about me when I was in boot camp, and he called me this and he called me that, and oh my God, and then he yelled at me, then he made me clean toilets, for God's sake, I wanted to get some rest.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to end up suing the military because a drill sergeant abused him, verbally abused him. That's coming. Don't think it's not.
It's ridiculous because when you go off to war, I'm sorry, when you have Al-Qaeda with a gun in your face, they're not going to care whether you're crying or boohooing that you got yelled at and been called some sort of racist slang.
Thank you. And who in the hell started saying this, waterboard? Who made the rules of war? Well, waterboard, and it is just unhuman punishment. We're killing you, you idiot. Of course it's unhuman punishment. It's war. Oh, stop it. You cannot waterboard or you cannot talk bad about their families, but we can kill them later. What the hell is this?
Yeah.
Put the guy's
head
in
the
waterboarding. Yeah, put the guy's head in the deep end, for Christ's sake, until water comes out of his ears. And if he doesn't want to say anything, blow his brains out. We're not cuddling you guys. Either give us information or you're not. Now what we're doing is we're housing all these people. Now they got a color TV and Gitmo, whatever. They got color TV. They're playing soccer. Your tax money is paying for that. What are we doing? We're not closing it down.
Yeah.
We got prison overcrowding in California. You know as well as I do in California. They're letting out these people because it's overcrowding. They're deciding which one's going to do the – and oh, for in technology, we're deciding psychologically which one's going to do more damage if we let them out and who don't. Shut the hell up. This guy's a rapist. He only raped 3 times. Let him go. We need the room for a murderer. What are we doing, Arlene? This is what's happening. This is our world.
And that's why we are on air to hopefully hope that people listen and they make a difference.
Oh, boy. People are scared. They can't make a difference. I gave up on American people. They can't make a difference because they're pussified, they're PC, they're politically correct. I said the word nigger on air 5 times. I got 6 white people complaining that I'm saying nigger too much. Black people said, hey, good night, show. What the hell are you going? What's going on here?
Yeah.
What is going on? I'll say nigger, 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 nigger. Nigger is only that's not a powerful word. It's a word. How powerful is only as powerful as you make that word? I don't make it powerful. It doesn't control me, and it's not who I am. It doesn't define who I am. Say it.
Right.
Nigger, 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 you know, nigger, nigger, black eye, coo, says tar baby, bladder. I'm not skin's made of tar. Who are they talking about? People getting too sensitive and want to overly protect. Oh, my God, he said nigger. Okay, everybody, let's protect him. Let's protect the people who heard nigger. I hope they don't get offended. Shut up.
No, that's what I'm telling you, is that it's okay for you to say it because you're black. But if a white person said it, a black person would get offended.
And that's Prince, and that pissed me off, too. Oh, Kelly's white, and I love Kelly and everything. Her kids are listening to rap and everything. They'll sing the song to rap, and when the part comes where it says the word nigger in the rap song, they won't even say it. They'll just be quiet, and then they'll go to the next verse.
I would do that, too, actually.
You see what we did to America? You can't even do that in your own car. You can't even sing a song now. Don't talk to me about free speech. If the black people put it out there, if it's put it out there, use it.
Yeah.
If I was white, I'm saying, hey, I give this dude some money. I'll say nigger all the time. Give me that nigger record. What? I can say it. I gave him some money. I bought his album. I have a right to say it. I'm part of the party now. I'm a nigger.
There you go.
They had a coined phrase in the 90s. They used to call white people wiggers.
Yeah, I remember that.
And you know, that died out. Nigger died out until what's his name? It died out. Nobody used the word nigger. And then all of a sudden, black people got so sensitive and they walked out of a what's his name thing going, nigger, nigger. Oh my God, that word. Oh my God, it's going to destroy me. Oh my God, if he said nigger, oh my world's falling apart. Shut up, you fucking idiot. Put a gun through your head, get rid of yourself, and that makes some room for somebody who's intelligent.
Hey, well, I wanted to ask you, not to change the subject on you.
Oh, my
how
God,
do
we're still on archives. We're on archives. I'm losing my
freaking
mind.
You said it like 1,000 times on archives.
We're losing my freaking mind. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, how do we download these to, you're going to have to tell me how to download these so that I can go ahead and like, save clips of them and stuff. Because
sure.
What I want to do is I want to clip people's segments for them so they can listen to themselves and their interview, and then they can send it on or they can download it to their websites. How do I do that?
Sure. Well, I'm going to give you the link to the main page, and the main page will have all the segments. and it'll have a download button. It'll have a download button where you can download it.
Okay, cool. Because that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to try and clean them up and give them just support. Same thing with Donna, because, you know, she got her feelings hurt, which I don't blame her when Cole said what he did. And so I'm going to cut hers down, and then she can post it on her wall or however she wants to do it.
Sounds good. And so as far as my view about suicidal people and weak people and should we protect people, it's not our job to protect people. If you worry about your son and daughter turning into a pussy, enroll them into karate school. Get their self-esteem up. That's your problem, not society's problem. Your problem is why that kid doesn't have a good self-esteem. It starts at home. And if he can't do that, then you enroll him into a class. Have a kid enroll himself in a class. Or get into a program, a club, a boys club, or whatever.
I happen to disagree with that. Let me tell you why. Because in my house, I'm very positive. You know, I'm one of those that, you know, you can be what you want to be. If you work hard at it, you know, if my son wants to be an actor and